God bless everyone. We are the 27th of October and it's Thursday 2022. And welcome all to another wonderful Zoom fellowship where we can glorify God and we can get blessed and edified. And so now I will hand the meeting over to Jason. Jason.
Thank you very much. Wow. Yeah. Becky Jansen, would you open up with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just really truly thank you for this great night of fellowship that's going to be. I just thank you for the words that's going to get spoken, Lord. And I just thank you for each person on the fellowship tonight. And thank you for each heart being open. And I thank you for blessing us all greatly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Wonderful prayer. Prayer. We were talking just now, and who's it said about prayer? Prayer is so important. And our prayer life really is an indication of our relationship. And we know from the scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ talked about, you know, the people that pray on the street corners, that they may have praise of men, whether they're not praying from their heart, and they can do vain repetitions. And it's so easy to, anyone can do it, just praying, Father God, thank you, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? It's just running off of the mouth sometimes. But God looks on the heart anyway, so even if we've done that, he still looks on the heart, and he can work in the heart as well. But I was, looking through something earlier. I can go to God with a format. This is the way I pray. This is the way we're supposed to pray. And I had some format drummed into my mind years ago. And then I found myself away from that organization and getting things in my mind when I was praying and thinking, hey, I wasn't told to pray for that. But wait a second, I'm not with them anymore. And then God was showing me to break out of the mold and just pray for what's in my heart. And, you know, we don't do any religious formats. We don't need it. We just go as we are for who we are. I don't go for who somebody else is. I go for who I am into the presence of my father. He's my dad. And he knows me better than I know myself and better than anybody else knows me. So that's how we can pray. That's how we can approach God, and he can put the ideas in our hearts and minds what to pray for, how to pray for it. And obviously we know, we're to pray for the laborers, and, I know I say it all the time, I'm desiring so strongly my first key laborer. And I can as good as see it, you know, and one day you're going to see like 1,000 people in my first field, and in the second field, another 1,000. The third field's going to have another 1,000. The fourth, the fifth, and so on and so forth, until we lose count. But God won't never lose count, so I know he's got it all stored up. And I know that if this is the direction I'm given to move in, then that's the direction I'm going to move in. And we pray that God can make his desires our desires, so to put his desires in our hearts, so that then we can make his will our will. And like Jesus Christ said, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. And then what did he do? He sacrificed his life to save ours. Well, thankfully, we haven't got to go through that to pay for our sins, because he's already paid for it for us. And now we just walk in that relationship. With the knowledge of who we actually are in Christ. In other words, as he is now, seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, perfect and blameless, so are we on this earth. Right? It's just in our minds, we have to stay there, above and not beneath, you see. And when we see ourselves in that seated position at the right hand of the Father, where there are pleasures forevermore, then we know for certain that, like God says to us, you just ask me, what is it, Kim? Jeremiah 33:3? Kim's favorite verse. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you know not, right? If we don't call unto God, then how can we receive these things? If we don't call unto him, how can we see the great and mighty things that we can't even explain? And it's funny because we know about the words of our mouths and our confessions, daily confessions, such an important key to everything. Because all I do is in the mornings, I go through this list of confessions and my day just turns out to be something that I couldn't explain. Because God is doing those things as I confess them, right? He's doing them. And whatever it is, in whatever area of life it is, he will do it. And I can't explain, oh, this is how God did it, because only he knows how he does it. And that's the great thing, because then the onus isn't on me, the responsibility isn't on my shoulders to make the things happen. You see? So give it all into his hands, from the heart, in prayer, and speak those things out like they're done. And amen is like, so be it. It's done. It's a done deal. That's what amen actually is. Again, a lot of people use that word in prayers, but they don't understand what it really means. But thank God we've got an understanding. He's given us an understanding. And we're in a very unique position, I think, over a lot of Western people, because what we've been given, the doctrine we've been given, and this sound doctrine we're being fed with now, is like the best there is. This is the best you can get. And it's great because we're challenged in our thinking to change our thinking patterns, right? From whatever we grew up with, or whatever we were indoctrinated with later down the line, from anywhere, ever, any place, to what is now. And it's funny because the whole essence of everything is now. It's not past. It's not future. It's now. And that's funny because I got to catch two buses to get up here now. So I'm on my first bus and I got to stop, and I remember I helped this lady out in a couple of ways, and I got chatting to a guy that is the father of one of my customers. And I jumped off this bus and I'm on another bus. I had a conversation with another guy and I got on the bus. And my mind wasn't on the first bus. What was happening when I was on the first bus? It was on what was happening on the second bus. Why? Because I was living in the now. Right? What happened on the first bus, that's gone. Right? I'm blessed when I remember it. Yeah, there's some neat little things there. God moved somehow. I managed to bless somebody somewhere. But now that's what I keep moving on. And living like that is great because whether we're under pressure, whether situations or circumstances are getting a bit the better of us, or whether it's been a great time, we still got to keep moving to the Keep moving. And God is a now God. And the more I realize that and see it, moving in that Holy Spirit, the more I'm going to walk into the things that he's got prepared for me. And I had a great blessing actually yesterday, opportunity, I would say. I don't know what's going to come of it yet, but it's in God's hands, not mine. One of the roads I work on, I've seen a woman go up and down that road a lot of times with a walking stick, and she doesn't look too great. And there's two houses at the bottom of the street that have been turned into like supported living houses for people that have had problems somehow in life, physical problems, or mental problems. And every time I've been on that street and she's walked up or down the street, she's caught my attention, but I wouldn't mind speaking, but then I think, no, you just keep moving, doing, yeah, I've got my work to do, and I'm not responsible for opening any doors, right? So God's going to bring me the people that he knows should come to me, right? My laborers. Well, I was walking last night, and I'd done all my work for the day, I'd gone to the shops, and it was about 9 o'clock in the evening, so it was dark. And I turned up through this lane. I didn't usually go that way, actually. In fact, it's the first time in a long time I've gone that way at that time of the evening. And as I've come into this lane, this lady is walking towards me. And I'm thinking, what? So I moved aside so that she could feel comfortable. And as she's gone past, I think I said, hi, or good evening. And it sparked a conversation, and she just started pouring her heart out to me of all the problems she's had in her life. And I'm like, what? And on about maybe she'd like a drink, but she hasn't got cash. Can I help? And she was so polite about it that she wasn't, like a lot of people in the area are quite bolshy and boom, boom, boom. But she wasn't like that at all. She was totally the opposite. And I said, well, you know, I haven't got any cash on me. But what I have got, I'll give you because this is what you need. And I'm just sharing with her about God and Jesus Christ. She's never heard this stuff before. And about how he can heal anything and everything. And then she had to walk on through the lane. She said, will you walk up with me? I'm thinking, we just met. I'm a complete stranger to her. It's dark. It's in a lane. I shouldn't trust anyone. And she just put her whole trust in me to walk up with. And we got to the end of the road, jumped left, and walked down a little way further. Really, I couldn't have made it happen because the words I was saying, yes, I know these words. I understand them. But it was God that was putting them there for me to speak to her at that minute in time. And she had to knock on the door and go in the house. So I said to her, you live in this blah, blah, blah place, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, in that house? She said, yeah, that's right. And her eyes were widened. And I'm like, I know where you live. I said, a few windows in the area. I said, our paths are going to cross again. I believe so. So basically, since the age of 14, she's, 44 or 45 now. From the age of 14 on upwards, she's been in drugs and drink terribly. I don't know if she's on about heroin or something, but it's along those lines. A really bad time. She was in a car accident, left her brain injured, hence the walking stick, in a coma for 3 months, and she died a couple of times and came back. Because that, she mentioned that at the point I mentioned God. And almost kind of asking, do you think God did that? And I just said to her straight, I said, yeah, God saves lives. He's the one that saves the lives. I said, it's the opposite side that piles all the shit on, basically. But, it was a great opportunity. And you know, in the morning, I just said to God, you know, come on, I need that laborer. Give me work to do. My before ordained works this day. What are they? Just walk me into it, Lord. Come on, Daddy. You know? Jesus said, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. That's endearing. And I shared with this woman, you know, that's how I talk to God as well. I call him that at times. So, and that's the relationship aspect. And, you know, it just really blessed me, actually, because I think we are believers. We're children of God. We're not made to keep this to ourselves. We're not made to just wither away, so to speak, or end up in all the systems of this world, the courses of this world, following that stuff. We're designed and made specifically for the kingdom of God. And, you know, in the kingdom of God, there's no self. And we take ourselves out of the equation, and God's in the middle, Jesus Christ in the middle with him, and bang. That's when the great and mighty things happen that we know not. We can't explain it. We just like, wow, it was Daddy. It was him again. And he's done it again and again and again and again and again. So, and it's funny, I was reading something on my WhatsApp that Lawrence had sent out about the net, and it says never again list. And oh my gosh, I remember never again lists. And it's great. I was just having a little read through them. And if you've had this, have a read through and make your own never again list. All right? Wherever you see, because this is what I was thinking of straight away from me, wherever I see I could do doing better in an area of my life, then let's get it nailed down and get the confessions. I will never again be like that. I was never going to be like that. And we'll see what difference it makes, because it all flows together and in harmony with God's purposes and plans for our lives. And he has got a purpose and plan for your life. Right? And my finger is pointing at each individual person on here right now. You can only see one finger, but I haven't got like 20 fingers. But I'm pointing one, I'm pointing three back at myself. He's got great plans for your lives. So I'm telling myself the same thing. It's great. And that's the greatest finger pointing you can do, to encourage, right? And then the people get encouraged and you get encouraged with it. But that's how God, he's an encouraging father to us and a loving, tender father, full of grace, full of mercies, compassions, and he's got strength that we can't even measure that strength. And the love, there's no way you can measure love anyway. It's just limitless with God. So, I guess I shared now, and just going to close myself out with that one. And thanks to God for my ministers, Lawrence and Kim, who he's worked mightily to stand all these years and to work in their hearts to do this, what we're doing right now. So praise God in the name of Jesus Christ. So thank you very much for the chance to share, and thank you very much for listening, everyone. And now I'd like to ask Siri to share, please, if you will, my sister in Finland.
Thank Norway. You. Norway. Not just, nowhere, but Norway.
I was just testing to check your mind still working okay.
Well, I'm still here. Okay, thank you very much. What shall I say? God bless you all, and I look forward to hear you all, because there are lots of wonderful things to hear during the night, I'm sure. Sometimes we Norwegians can't stay up all fellows because we are 1 hour ahead of you. But anyway, the American story, you have a different time. Still, we stay on as long as we can. And what should I share? We had a fellowship yesterday. We're kind of this little old modish little group. We are not one each one win one yet, but we still do sometimes. A little traditional, but really it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful how God can work in a group when we're together. I think there are promises for fellowships. When people get together in the name of Christ to honor God, I think there are lots of wonderful things happening. And we like pray and have manifestations, go through kind of a chapter or something in the Bible, just to have something to relate to from the Word of God. And lots of wonderful things come up. And we have a new guy with us that asks questions, which is absolutely wonderful, because that makes our minds going and we can think about what have we really understood by these things that are asked about. And it helps our minds to sharpen up. So this was wonderful, and we kind of made our way to explain the new life, in contrary to the carnal life, the new life we got. And I said it's like a brand new wonderful Mercedes in comparison to an old car that just falls apart all the time and you have to repair it by your own hands and it doesn't work and it doesn't get you anywhere. But if you have a brand new Mercedes, like this new guy had. Actually, he said his car wasn't really new. It was 30 years old. And then I said, you really have taken care of your car. You have developed them and you have taken care of your wonderful new creation. It was like a mind picture, you know. But I think it's quite a good mind picture. When what we have from God, our spiritual life, with him is the best. Absolutely the best. And it's functioning. And we do have the Word of God, like an instruction book. When we don't really find our way, we can also really use the Word of God as the instruction book. But you know, as we all do, we don't, when we get something new, we don't read the instruction books. it still works. We still get the vehicle to go in some way, but sometimes you really need to go back to the book and then find the rules. And I think also that's a wonderful thing. Another thing I'd like to say that was a really, I wouldn't say a miracle, but it was a fantastic thing. There's one lady who just comes along not very often because she has two kids at home and the father doesn't take care of the kids. But she popped up and she has been listening to Lawrence's teachings. And she said, I listen to them at work. Because she has an office and she listens to the teachings. And she had such a hard life. But then our friend Magnil, she had helped her a little bit with some food. And she came along yesterday and said that Magnil had given her so many advices that she could get food for her boys. And actually they were advised to go to the gas stations in like 10 o'clock at night because then the gas stations have special offers. They kind of sell out the food that they haven't sold during the day and it's very, very cheap. So you can get really food bags with all kinds of food. And this woman had taken her boys to these gas stations and they were really fed, these boys, you know, with sausages and buns and baguettes and all kinds of wonderful food that they hadn't really, they couldn't afford any of it, you know. And till they got it cheap. So it was really like a well of welfare for her, you know. And we know that she has been hanging in there just listening to the teachings. She also goes to church sometimes with her boys on the Sunday. She has wonderful sons. But just the thing that she came and gave us this testimony about the help she got from our friend Magnil and also that night we had brought some clothes. Some boys' clothes and some clothes for hers. She was overblessed. And I said, this is what fellowship should be like. We should help each other. There should always be some kind of help between believers to be able to supply our needs. It says that God will supply our needs, but we are the body of Christ and we should be able to help each other. So there are lots of things to learn and even lots of advices to follow. I know that, but still enjoying then the presence of the Father in between us and the presence of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we're just going to continue to practice that. It's just still a wonderful night and look forward to hear you. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Siri. Bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now I'd like to ask her, she's got to go soon. Becky, would you like to go next, please?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Love you all, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this week, again, it's just been such a great week for me for really learning with God and really growing with Him. And really my prayers to God have just been so... It's just been such a great week of me praying and receiving what God has for me. He has really shown me so much. So a certain situation happened and someone was quite unkind to me. And in my carnal, I would have really reacted in such a different situation, in such a different way. And God really worked in me to really keep my inner peace, to really don't give life to the words of death and really go in with to not even react to anything that this person may have said or done And it felt really, I wanted to shout, I wanted to scream, but God was really working in me to just keep quiet, to really keep the peace and to not speak and to really just sit with him, speak in tongues and just trust him. Trust that he works everything out for my good. And I done this, and the peace I felt within me was absolutely, it was phenomenal. From how, if I reacted in my carnal, it would have been a very different situation. It could have caused a lot more issues than it had to. And the Becky beforehand would have definitely done this, would have definitely reacted in such a different way. And how God is just working within me to be Christ to people, to not react in a certain way, so God can work through me. And that will show a lot, to especially for certain people around me, and show so much growth that they will then look and they say, wow, this girl has changed. And this is what we need to do. We need to be the change that we want to see. We want to be that person, as hard as it can be, because this was, for me, it was quite tough to keep quiet, to not react in the situation that I was in. But for me to keep calm, to keep my inner peace, to stay with God in this situation, to stay with God each day, no matter what's going on around us, no matter how much that you do feel, you may feel certain negative emotions, that you don't react to them, that you act in the way that God asks us to act, that we recognize what we have within us is so much greater than what people in the world have, that we can show them a different life to live. And I, especially today, it showed me so much. It showed me that even in the hardest of times, that God can work through you, and God can really switch situations around for you when you are led by God and you're not led by your emotions. You are led by his perspective, not our perspective, not the world's perspective, how they see the things, how the unbelievers may act in situations. We're to be the lights to these people, and we're to give out what we have to them. And be that example, because if we can't be the example to them, they're not ever going to want what we have. So it's been such a, honestly, I can't explain how God worked within me to really be calm. And I haven't really massively, I've been working a lot, in the fellowship. We've been working a lot on my one-on-ones, etc., with mind, thought and emotions. And I feel in the last few weeks that challenges have arose, and God has just been working within me, and I can feel how God is working within me and how he has spoken to me by, so obviously I connect to Lawrence. So when I connect to Lawrence and God works through Lawrence to speak to me, it's been life changing. This connection has been life changing for me. It has changed my whole situation and circumstances around, in my home, within the people around me, it's just everything has changed, and God has changed everything. And all he needed was for me to be the one, to be still, to know he is God, to be led by him and not led by my emotions. And I have, God really has worked in me to really work through the things that he has encouraged me to do. And wow, it's just been, I feel I've been spiritually woken up, and he's shaken me and said, this is how you act. This is how it is. And it's an amazing feeling, even though it's not about feelings, but I know without a doubt that God has so much in store for myself, for the people around me, as long as we keep being led by God, keep our focus with him, and we keep our faith with him, then he is going to do great things. And he loves us, again, on such a personal level, that when we move forward with him, we are going to see great things within us, within our circumstances, within our homes, within our families. Because he's not just for us. He's for the people around us. But we need to be the examples to our families, to be...
Okay.
To really keep our focus with him. So yeah, that's what I wanted to share this week.
Wow, that's amazing, Becky. Thanks very much for that. Very inspirational, and I think God established a few things there as well between our sharings. What can I say? It's all God. It's all him. If we make it about us, we didn't get anywhere. But if we make it about him, wow. Yeah, he can take us to the places we can't explain. Wonderful. Thanks for that, Bex. So next, I'd like to ask my sister Kathy, please, to share if there's something in your heart, which I'm sure there is.
Wait, did you say Kathy?
I did.
You did? Okay, that's me. My name is Kathy. Hi, hello. Hello,
hi,
hello.
Nice to,
God bless you all. So, yeah, God is wonderful. You guys are just sharing such great things about everything from God, you know. And for me, this is a great learning, too. That everything is from God, and he just needs me to realize that and allow him to do what he is, you know, wants to do. So I have been practicing a little bit differently since I had gone and spent time with Tsang and his family. And so for me, as being one who has always put many things on my own shoulders to do for God, it has been a big change for me to just unload that and let God do it for me. And so my daughter, especially in this category where I spent so many years trying to find someone to help her because I was at such a low spot. I just really wasn't able to receive from God what I could have at that time. And so she has really been doing better and better and better as I have ceased from my own efforts to try and make things better for her and to just expect God to do what he does so well. And he certainly knows how to get to my daughter. He knows her heart. He knows mine too. He knows us all. He knows how to reach us. Hey, And that's like the best, because when we're looking to him and allowing him to work in our heart and our life, like y'all have been sharing, he can do that so effectively and so much better. So saying it was sharing in that recent post that came through that Lawrence had posted about eating the words of the world. And I remember how wonderful it was first time I heard it, but then listening to it again, I was very much thinking about the simplicity of life. And one of the things that has kind of always struck me about some of the scriptures, particularly some of the scriptures in the books where it talks about the struggles of Paul, the Apostle Paul, and all of the things he has gone through, or all the things he went through, and things he was sharing too with the believers in certain locations about that, Timothy and others. And, you know, there's a verse that Christ says, it's in John, where he was talking to his, the 12 soon before he was going to be that he was going to be crucified. And there's that verse that is so often used, and I know I used to think it was talking about the difficulty of the Christian walk. And what he said was that in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And most of the time that verse is taken to mean that you live in the world, and so there will be tribulation because you have an enemy, and he is always going to be making your life difficult, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We have the victory in Christ. But you can also take it, and this is what Tang was mentioning too, that, you know, the trouble and the tribulation comes when we are in the world, when we take the world, when we consider the world, and when we eat the words that the world gives to us. And if we don't eat those words, if we don't consider what it's saying, and we don't start thinking it through in our minds about what that means for me, then it's not trouble and tribulation. Of course, Paul was one, as his manner was. He very much wanted to save the Jews and many times did agitate and enrage them when it was very unnecessary. But this was as his manner was. And it's a great lesson, I think. And So what I have been doing, again, it is Job also that's a wonderful example of this, where Job was completely untouchable. And it was not until Job started to consider these words that somehow the world, the enemy had, you know, put out there, however it was presented, that he started to consider, he started to look at them, he started to think about them, and then he started to take action on the worry that those words gave him. And that was what then put that hole in that wall that God had put around him to protect him. And so then we know the rest of the story, the rest of the record, and what happened to Job. And then, of course, God victoriously brought him through and doubled everything that he lost. But this point about what words I eat, you know, what is my diet? What words am I consuming? And the world is always putting these words and images and pictures everywhere. And so we may know that they're there, we may see them, we are aware of them, we may look at them, but we don't consider them, we don't eat them. I don't eat them. They are not my diet. My diet is the heavenly words. And these are the words that I receive from God directly in real time. And yes, sometimes he directs me to a scripture, but when it's in real time at the moment that he gives these words to me, they are the words of life for me at that moment. And when I take them and I eat them, I consume them, they bring forth life. They satisfy me. They make me happy. They lift my heart. You know, they give me the victorious result in whatever is going on. And when I eat the words of the world, when I consider, look, and think and eat them, they are like bad food. They are like food that has spoiled. And I eat them, and yes, they make me sick. They don't bring life to me. They actually bring destruction to me. And so this very simple thing, which is, again, so much on my mind about being very, very persistent at what I am eating and what I am partaking of and what I am speaking. You know, I have a heavenly diet of those words, and I can speak those words. They are my native tongue from the place that I am of. I am no longer of the world. I am of heaven. So I have that heavenly language. I speak in tongues, yeah. And I also have words of God, from God, that I can speak to. And so there's this contrast, and Lawrence was sharing about contrast a ways back, which to me is something that I really love, because I spent so many years being in the gray area. You know, the foggy gray area. It wasn't black, it wasn't white, it wasn't dark, it wasn't light, it was gray. And it's hard to then be clear when I'm seeing things that way. So contrast is something that is so, makes life so simple and easy. And of course, God has always been doing this with His people too, you know, and for God, the way he puts contrast forth is what is life and what is death. And he said that to Israel. I set before you life and death. Choose life. You know, it's like there's only two choices here. There is no gray. There is no in the middle. And it's easy to choose life because we know that life is always the beneficial choice, and death is not. And anything that leads to destruction or death is never beneficial. And everything that leads to life and life abundant in spirit is always beneficial. So in the gray area, sometimes it's hard to make the right decision, but God will help us with that too. You know, whatever it is that I need in life, whatever it is, God will give it to me. And I know in the past I've always thought about things in the physical realms that are needs, but, you know, if I need more confidence, I can be assured that when I go to God and ask for Him to enlighten me so that I am more confident, He will do that. When I need understanding and wisdom about something, I know that when I go to God, He will supply that. He will. Sarah. And so God, you know, His heart for us is to live every single thing to the fullest that He has given to us. And He went ahead and gave us everything, and then, you know, didn't leave anything missing. And so His heart was that we would live this way fully. Will we live everything, every single thing all at once? And I don't know. I don't think so. But even if I live like 25% of as He is, so am I. I think that's going to be a huge amount. You know, and I don't put percentages on it. But the point is that God's heart was that I would live fully, and that I would live this life with Him, and that I would allow Him to give me everything that I need in my mind and heart to live it. I already have everything I need. I already am as Christ is. I already am in the image of God. I have his spirit living in me. I already have everything, but in my mind and heart, sometimes I might not think that. And so he will supply whatever my mind and heart needs so that I can fulfill his goodwill, good pleasure, for me to live this abundant life that he had in mind to give. And he knows how I need to move with him to live it best. So, you know, it is that everything that he desires for me, for us, is really the absolutely top, you know. And being that everything is done, then there's really so little effort on my part, except to go to him and allow him to do. You know, like Becky was saying, we allow him to give us the information and the calmness in a situation that maybe normally we would get worked up about. And, you know, and he will do that. You know, he will do whatever he will become and do whatever is needed at the moment. And so this is what makes life simple and easy. And for me, I need easy and I need simple. So the life with God, he intended for us to enjoy and to be very happy and to be very satisfied when we allow him to provide every single thing. And even if we need the faith, he provides that too. He, you know, he will make everything believable for us. Whatever thing I may be looking at that looks like over the top for me, I never have to be concerned about it because I can go to God and know that he will make it believable for me. Like as he is, so am I. If I just think about that on my own level of reasoning, it's big. Of course it's big. It's huge. But that doesn't matter because it is real. It is my reality. You know, so just like he did for Moses, you know, when he came to him and said, I want you to go before Pharaoh. You're going to be the guy that is going to lead my people out. I'm going to work with you at every step of the way. And it's going to be amazing, you know. And Moses was like, no, at first he was very resistant because it was like not something that he even thought of himself doing. Or maybe didn't even want to. He didn't want to. You know, he knew they were probably still looking for him because he killed that guy. But it didn't matter because God was going to do the work. And he was going to give Moses whatever he needed to make it believable for him to do this thing, this amazing, glorious work. And he would do no less for me or for any of us. And so this takes the pressure off, you know, and that's something I've always put very much on myself, practicing the wrong way of doing things. And the pressure is not on us. We don't have the pressure to be as he is. We already are it. And God will walk us through and reveal his son in us at each step of the way, and he will upgrade us, and he will lift us, and he will do it all because this is his heart, that we live to the fullest of everything he has created in us to be. So I've had a wonderful work week, had a wonderful week, a very enjoyable week, had a little hiccup last night, but it was just a hiccup, and I am very much pursuing with my Heavenly Father a very enjoyable, happy life. And I know that is what the abundant life is all about. And my past never, ever considered this point. It was never for me about living a happy life. It was always about a life of service and yeah, working at it and pushing and all these kinds of things that were on my own shoulders. And at this point in life, I see that that definitely was a dead end for me, and because I was doing it myself. And so a refreshing change of life to allow God to do and to provide in all things. So, yeah, it's really wonderful. God bless you all. I love you.
But, yeah, man, this fellowship is always so fire. It's like, I just love how God is working. Like, clearly everybody is doing what we're being told, because it's just like the way that God's working stuff is just awesome. Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of growth spurts this week, I'll say. you know, just I've really been going to God about taking my way out of it, like what's been being shared. And, you know, I've had practice with that. So I've seen parts where it's like, okay, that was totally me. And then it's like, okay, I'm walking with God because you see the fruit. Becky sharing really blessed my socks off, because like that is my desire, is when things come up that are just like the storms of life, you know, where your emotions are really like your heart's being pulled in different directions, and just to be able to get that peace that you were just talking about, like the quietness to be able to hear from my Father in those moments. So that is my major desire right now. I just started literally asking for labor, you know, somebody that's hungry that actually wants, so that I can start giving, you know, what I have to offer, like this Holy Spirit that's in me and operating the manifestations and speaking by the Spirit and walking with the Spirit and, you know, seeing His love manifested in somebody else's life. So that's exciting, because I know He's going to do that. I know He'll open up that door in His timing, you know, and it's like I'm learning patience too, like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, you know, patience, self-control. Like, we have that available. Oh, man, you know, my phone's ringing. I'll just call them back. But it's just really awesome. And I, too, feel like it's like a spiritual awakening. You know, it's, my aunt says it's synesis, like the all coming together, the flowing together. Like, Lawrence, you talk about the levels of understanding. And it's beautiful because those, like, the, you know, we're not under condemnation as far as death, the sin nature, but like our minds can tend to beat ourselves up sometimes if we're thinking carnally, right? But that has really that's going away. Like I'm even at the place where I don't care what people think anymore, because it's me and God. And that's really cool. Like, it's taken a lot of time, and that was a desire that I had, because I don't want to be people pleasing. I want to be pleasing my Father, you know? I want to be led, you know, I want to be submitted to my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my whole life I accepted Him as my Savior, but now I'm understanding that He's my Lord. Like, He directs my life, you know? Like, that's my desire, is to have that quietness, that peace in the midst of any storm. And I know that my Father is going to do that in me, because, you know, He does it. Like, Kathy, you shared about, like, when you pray to God, He does it, you know, like, He does this for us, and we go to Him humbly. We're seeking to do His will. We know He is working in us, so willing to do of His good pleasure. Like, it's really just an awesome walk. And the journey, like, I'm enjoying the journey too, you know? It's like everybody gets so excited, and then I used to say it myself, like, oh, I can't wait till Christ returns. Well, how about we just enjoy the journey now, seeing how we really can reckon this old man dead. And each day it's like we're being conformed to His image, as long as our focus is in the right place, that we're remembering, you know, it's upon His good works, you know, like He already did it. And when we're resting in that grace, when we're fully understanding all that Christ accomplished for us and what that means to us and who we are to God, like how, you know, valuable and precious we truly are to God, and the price that was paid for us, like, you know, then that's when those works follow. It's when we're in that peaceful, you know, allowing Him to work in us and to give us those words. And, you know, you mentioned Moses, Kathy, that's something that, God had brought me to recently too. And I never noticed that he, you know, he was like, me? Oh, you know, I can't do it. I don't have eloquent speech. Like, you know, it's like, so then God gave him Aaron, and it's like, whoa, man, but he was still able to work with that. Like, God will do what He sets out to do, you know? And then, recently it was like, I can't remember where it was. Let me think for a second. I think it's in Samuel, talking about like the obedience. God's really been showing me the obedience, and then also reminding me that we are in the age of grace. So it's not about condemnation or beating myself up about it, but there is a real key in that obedience to his voice, you know, and the practice of, okay, you know, that whole idea of was it God or is it my thought? Well, that starts to go away and we get confidence by practicing. It's like, oh, you know, I'm just so thankful for all these lights that are switching off, like switching on in my heart and mind, and that it's going from my head to my heart, and like that I am allowing myself to be submitted to the Holy Spirit that's within me. It's submitted unto my God through Jesus Christ, like understanding he is my Lord. He directs my life. And I do, I've always known I had access to God. You know, I always knew I could go to him for grace in time of need. And I always took advantage of that. But like, I don't want him to have to cover me with his grace so much anymore. Like, it's about this obedience thing. Like, I'm starting to really, okay, God. All right. So what do I do in this situation? And it is a practice, and it's like, okay, some days I miss it a bit, and then some days it's like, wow, I can't believe I just did that. And then staying humble to know that it's not me, it's God that's doing it, you know, because I am humbly asking him to. And, you know, he does have his wisdom for us whenever those situations or those storms come up. You know, it's just a matter of going to him and saying, hey, God, you know, like we talked about that perspective, what's your perspective here? Help me to see the heart, you know. Calm these emotions. Emotions be still. You know, like, I am going to hear from my Father now. Leave me alone, Satan. You have no place, you know, like, in those moments. And I am excited. Like, yeah, sometimes those, like, lessons or those growth spurt parts, they hurt, you know, and they, you know, if we choose to stay in them and dwell on them, it can really shake everything up. But I don't choose to dwell in that anymore. It's like, okay, you know, you brush it off your shoulder and okay, what's next, God? You know, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize and the high calling in Christ Jesus. Like, he is the example. He is the one that, you know, he did it so that we can do it. You know, it's just real cool. And I'm very blessed. I'm really thankful to God for this connection, just how perfectly he timed it, you know, and I'm ready to hear it. And like the way that he, I'm sure everybody on this call has had experiences where it's like he really was like leading us up to being able to receive these messages and these words from him. Because had you come to me 10 years ago, I wouldn't have, you know, I would have probably shut my door on it and said, yeah, you know, and maybe I would have come back 10 years later. But it's just his timing. It's so perfect. Like, we just trust his timing and know that what God has set out to do, he's going to do in each one of us, you know? And that obedience thing, like, there might be times that we're not obedient. So maybe we miss the mark on it. God's still going to do what he set out to do. It's just like, okay, we might not get to share in that experience, but it's grace. And it was even grace in the Old Testament, like Hezekiah and Isaiah, like, Isaiah came to Hezekiah and told him, like, the Lord's telling me you're going to die, right? But then Hezekiah turned to the wall and he was crying and he was, you know, humbly before the Lord, like, pouring his heart out, and he asked for forgiveness. And this was Old Testament. But even then, God's grace covered it. And he was like, wait, Isaiah, turn back around and go tell him this instead. Because, like, you know, he just turned his heart back to God. That's all it's ever been about, is turning our hearts back to God and allowing him to run the show. It's like, wow. And we have this intercessor for us, and we can intercess for each other. Like, speaking in tongues is such a beautiful, amazing, and powerful tool that he's given us. It's like, not only does it build us up, but it's perfect prayer for one another when we don't know what's going on in everybody's lives. You know, like, with Lawrence, for example, like, I'm constantly going to him with my stuff. Like, I do go to God first. I do. And then he'll normally just direct me right back to God. Every once in a while, it's like, you know, here's something you can do. Here's something you can do, you know, and then practicing it. But like, sometimes it feels like a take, really, like, I feel like I'm taking, but it's like, okay, God, you know what he needs, but I can speak in tongues for him. You know, I don't need to know all anything that's going on. I can speak in tongues for you. Like, same thing that I can do with all you people on the fellowship, like my brothers and sisters that I'm so very thankful for. I don't know what's going on in your lives, but I can speak in tongues for you. And I know,
like, with a surety, I have no doubt that God is going to work in each of your lives as I do that. Like, it's huge that we have that for each other. And then practicing walking by the Spirit and talking by the Spirit, like, even in when, like, when we're talking, when we ask God for the words and we allow him to be our mouthpiece, you know, he's the one that gave us these, like he told Moses, like, I made your mouth. You think I can't give you what to say? Like, when we're doing that and he does it, it's teaching me stuff too. It's like, that's how he operates. It's just, it's really, 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 really cool. And I'm so thankful for this truth and, you know, and that he did give us his word too, but like, there's so much more to it than just the scriptures. I'm understanding that, like, it's a whole new level, and it's like, it's exciting. It fills me up, like, and speaking by the Spirit fills you up the same way that speaking in tongues does. Like, the more we operate that, when I am resting and I do get those opportunities to manifest God's power and bring the spiritual into the reality now, into the physical, that is the most energizing feeling that I've ever had in my life. And to think that, like, I can experience that here, like, what is it going to be like at the return? So let's keep doing that, because the more we do it, the quicker, you know, that can happen for us. You know, like, Amber, you shared, I think, years ago about, like, you know, he's not going to gather a defeated church. He's going to gather a righteous and thriving, like, we're going to be on fire. So, yeah, I mean, that's true. And I actually saw that in scripture not too long ago, too. Like, God does that. Like, I hear stuff that hits my heart. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, and then he'll show me in the scripture. You know, it's like, whoa, that's just how he does things. He's just really fun. And so I'm excited. I'm glad that we're all doing this. I know that, like, amazing growth is happening. I know that each one of us, you know, we have those laborers out there. It happens in his perfect timing. And, you know, it's going to be awesome. So anyway, I'm very thankful that I did get to share, because I didn't think I would get to. Thank you, Lawrence. I love you. I love you all.
Bless you, Kelly. Love you.
Oh, that is awesome, Kelly. Thank you so much. That was great sharing. Yes, when we turn our hearts back to God, it's the heart thing. That's what it's all about. And that's where the relationship flows from. And then we see great things that God can do, so, or the results of them anyway. So thanks very much for that. And next is Sukina. Are you there, sister?
I am. I think it's Melly, though, than me.
Oh, you can go, sweetie. Go ahead, Sukina. Go ahead.
I think I saw that in the chat. Okay.
Sorry, Millie. My mistake.
No, Jason, it's okay. Sukina can go.
I normally listen to God, but not this time.
You didn't listen to your minister. You didn't read that chat. I'm kidding.
I was just testing everybody's sharpness, and you're all absolutely as sharp on fire. It's absolutely
We are awake, but my sister Sukina can go ahead. Please do.
Millie, you go next. You go next, honestly. It was my mistake. I apologize.
Unmute your mic, Billy.
Yeah, I'm
muting. Oh, okay, I'm going.
Sorry.
No worries. Anyways, hello, everybody. This is a wonderful day. Thursday is one of the days that I look forward to, because I get to see my other family on the other side of the world. And it's just so good to see everybody. I know some of you still don't have cameras, but hopefully one day we can really see each other's faces. But for now, you know, just having everybody in one spot, in one forum, is such a blessing. So I haven't shared in a while, and I guess it's hard for me to sometimes articulate anymore, because I am so peaceful with my life, and I'm so joyful. My gosh, I can't even talk. I'm so joyful. There's so many things that God is doing, and I know it's him. And, you know, everything that we talk about, everything that I hear from all of you, it just confirms. It's just, I mean, not that I need any confirmation or validation, but it's just such a blessing to hear, you know, that I know that I'm growing in my faith, and not only growing, but I feel like I'm even a little bit of a better person, I think, because, you know, everything that I'm learning, everything that I'm picking up, everything that I see, I hear, you know, God just tickles me sometimes and will say, if I start to kind of stray away from my walk a little bit and I'm not walking in love, he pulls me back in. It's like, really, is that where you want to go? And it's like, no, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make you unhappy. And I just come back to him. But, you know, he's just such a wonderful God that you can go back to him. You can come back to him. And he just wants you to be there. And that's what gives me that peace, is just knowing his arms is around me, knowing that I can cry to him, I can laugh with him. It's a feeling that I know you guys know that feeling. You just can't describe it. It's just so, it makes your heart like you want to burst. And he's just been doing so many things in my life. But just recently, you know, we're talking about, we have a friend whose niece has cancer, stage 4, and she's only in her late 20s, and she's got a 2-year-old son. And me and Ethel's been praying for her. We have a prayer group that we do every day. And so strong is our faith, so strong is our confession, that me and Ethel really ministered to her today. And we just know she's going to be okay. We just know she's going to survive. And you know, just that feeling that, I mean, we can go ask God, and he's listening to us. And, anyways, it's just such a feeling. And I just see that so much growth in me. You know, I just feel like such a better person. And, I mean, I can't even really tell you everything that's going on with my life, but he's telling me his plans, and I'm going to be working, doing some volunteer work for this Christian outreach program, which is what I've been wanting to do. And, also for this Unwed Mothers program. And, you know, I'm just listening to him. He's telling me where to go, what to do. I mean, I just want to be an obedient child. And, you know, I'm so at peace, and I'm just so joyful. There's not so much to say from me. I just want to tell you all that I just feel so blessed, and every day I am so thankful. I am so thankful that I know God, and God is in my heart. And I really appreciate all of you. And, you know, thank you so much for sharing your hearts, and I love you guys.
Oh, love you too.
Yeah, love you too, Millie. I'd offer you my tissue, but I haven't got one. Bless your heart. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're touched. That's cool. That's really so cool. That kind of caps off, I think, it, you know, all our hearts, what you just said. So that's amazing. Thanks for that, Sharon. It certainly met with me anyway. And now, thank you very much for that. Now over to my sister, Sukina.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, Sukina. I think I turned the light off. Oh, that's too bright. Oh, my goodness. Let me see. I've got testimonies. My heart is full. You know, woke up today thankful. Like Lawrence was saying, you know, really just being thankful for all of God's good and perfect gifts that, you know, that he has stored up for us and that we have now experiencing today in this real time. Just thankful for his goodness, his mercy. Thankful for my family. Let me see. Where do I start? Well, so last Friday, my husband and I, we went out on a date, and, you know, we were just talking, and I was sharing with him, you know, just some concerns that I had. You know, I was telling him that I was tired. You know, we take care of his mother, and he has a sister who lives 5 hours away, and she's not involved in her mother's care in any way. My mother-in-law is not totally dependent, but she's not independent either. The only thing she can really do for herself is dress herself. But everything else, you know, we're responsible for her. And she's also a very difficult person. She can be. So, but she's gotten a lot better. You know, the confessions, the, you know, praying over my household, you know, really just confessing that God is the head of this house and that, you know, as for me in my house, we shall serve the Lord. Confessing devil spirits are fleeing this house. They're running from this home, from this area, from this state. And, you know, as I've been doing that, I've seen the change, you know. There's definitely peace in the home. And I know it's because of the heavenly words that I'm hearing, being connected in the right place and hearing the right doctrine. And, you know, really practicing, really speaking those heavenly words from God and making those confessions daily, speaking in tongues. And there is fruit. I'm seeing it daily in my home and, you know, just letting God work in me. So in that conversation that I had with my husband, it was a very tender conversation. We were able to hear each other. And I just basically shared with him that, you know, we need a break from his mom and that, you know, it would be nice if he could have a conversation with his sister. They don't communicate very well at all. So he gave me some pushback on it and I addressed it very lovingly. And his statement to me was, I should not have to ask my sister to help take care of her mother. And my take on it was, I believe it was definitely God inspired. And I said to him, I said, no, you shouldn't have to ask, but you know, not asking really is just a form of pride, you know, that we should, when we need help, we should be able to ask for help. Even God says, God wants us to come to him and to seek him and to ask. And not asking is really a form of pride. You know, there has to be some meekness and humility in asking. And it was so well received from him, you know, because I really was speaking from a tender place, you know, no conviction, no condemnation. And, so we kind of agreed to disagree, but he received and he heard. And that was that. And then that was the heaviest part of the night. The rest was just fun and jokes and laughing and whatnot. And so the next day was Saturday. And I even had a conversation with my sister Ethel Mahal. And we talked about that a little bit. And then after I hung up with Ethel, My husband and I were sitting there and his sister called. And let me just preface it by saying that his sister, I think in the past 7 years that we've lived in this town and the past 5 that we've lived with her mother, she may have come a total of 5 times. And one of them was for their father's funeral. So that's how often she sees her mom, right? And so her sister called us to tell us, well, to tell my husband, that she's coming to get her mother to spend some time with her. I kid you not, 24 hours after the conversation, my husband and I just looked at each other after she hung up. We were like in shock. And then my husband said to me, see, I don't even have to ask God. He knows what I need. But that is really, really major because we really, really need this break. And the fact that she called us is really God working. And it's really a testament to he knows what we need, you know. And instead of my husband and I being bitter towards each other and not communicating, and not only were we able to communicate, but we were able to just agree on it. And then God took over after that. He made it happen. We didn't call her or anything. So that was a blessing. And then after that, that night, actually, I asked my husband, I said, and I've been mentioning this to him before about wanting to have, you know, fellowship and what my desires are and what God is putting in my heart. And so here and there I've been sharing it, but that night it was time, you know, God set it up that way that I approached him and I said, you know, I'd really like to have fellowship tomorrow. And he was like, definitely. Just, you know, it was so positive and so there was, an eagerness there. And that blessed me. So the next day, it was Sunday morning and we woke up to not necessarily have fellowship right when we woke up, but there were some things that he needed to do. He had to go to the store. So I was getting kind of nervous about it because I kind of wanted to have fellowship before my mother-in-law woke up because she can be that negative. And, you know, at the end of the day, as time was ticking before she wakes up, she comes out of her room the same time every day like clockwork. If she doesn't get up, something's wrong. So I kind of wanted him to come back before that. And as I was waiting for him, God was telling me, you have to invite her too. You know, this is for the house. This is for the home. And so I received that from the Father because I was kind of wrestling with it. But by the time my husband came back, it just worked out that it was just he and I for the first fellowship. And I told him, you know, during fellowship that God was telling me that we have to invite her to fellowship too. And he agreed. And I think he was kind of blessed by that too. Cause I admitted to him, I said, I really didn't want to, but God really put it on my heart that I should. And so I think that blessed him for me to be humble and meek about it. And he agreed. So for fellowship, all we really did was, we prayed together and, I talked about, you know, God just really inspiring us to just come together as a family and to talk about what God, you know, God is doing for us in the week, for us to talk about what our desires are and for us to really just come together and, you know, pray together as a family and to see what God has in store for us and to really just speak for God. It's not, you know, an informal thing. My husband and my family, we used to go to fellowship way back, like, you know, the older way, you know, of Bible study, Bible teaching. And I just shared with my husband that, you know, it would really just be about us speaking for God to each other and to each other's lives and talking about what, you know, what desires that we have and and asking God to put desires in our hearts and to just keep it very simple. Fellowship lasted about 10 minutes between he and I, and we prayed, and he prayed. I didn't want to cry, but in his prayer, he prayed for me about something that is very personal to me. And he prayed it with boldness, and it was just a blessing. And it just confirmed to me that this is God working and that I'm connected in the right place, hearing the right doctrine, because I am seeing the fruit. And towards the end of the fellowship, he said to me, he said, and we have to do this every Sunday. And I said, yes, we have to, and we will. And it was just very, I was really kind of in shock for the rest of the day because, you know, of what God did. You know, God did that, and it's not complicated. It's very simple. All I did was just stay with God and confess that this house is a house for God and that, you know, that God is in at the head of this house, and as for me and my house, we shall follow the Lord. And so anyway, I'm still thinking about it. as to how simple it was to just make a decision. Just make a decision to stay with God, to speak those things that be not as though they were, to believe in your heart and trust God, to also stay out of his way, and to really focus on what's in front of you, you know, thanking God for those preordained words that he has set for us individually, you know, and praying for laborers. And I even shared that with my husband. I said, eventually God is going to show us who needs to be here with us fellowshipping, because there are people who are hungry in this area, in this town, who want to do what we're doing right now, which is just to simply go to God and to fellowship. And we don't have to go out looking for them. I told him this. I said, God is going to show you who they are. All we have to do is make it available to them. And he agreed, you know. And anyway, so I'm not going to stay long, but it's just that simple to just really trust God. And we complicate it. I complicate it sometimes, you know, even during the week, I get so excited about it. And then God reminds me, you know, that it's about him, you know, like no preconceived thoughts about it. All we do is show up with a willing heart to be a vessel, to be used by God for his purposes. You know, this is about him. It's not about, oh, now I have fellowship in my house. No, it's like, okay, God, what do you have planned? You know, because these are his plans unfolding. And we're just a part of the plan, you know. And he works through us. You know, it's God who works to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's him who's working in us, right? And as he's working in us and we make ourselves available, we'll have that peace. That peace, that knowing that God is walking with us and he's with us. And so I'm just going to continue to just continue to pray for boldness, to continue to pray for, you know, my spiritual eyes and ears to be open, that I might hear from God and speak for God when he says speak. And for me to just get smaller and smaller, and for him to get bigger and bigger in the spirit. And for my inner man to just, you know, to just continue to strengthen my inner man by speaking in tongues and seeing that contrast. And I wanted to share one more thing, then I'm going to go. My husband has a friend who decided to start a sports bar in his home. And so, and I mean like a legit sports bar. Like he built a whole huge shed with a sink and TVs and everything on his property. You know, we live in the country, so... land is cheap here, so, in this huge yard that he has. And so my husband told me about it, and I was like, oh wow, that's nice, you know, okay. And then on Sunday, my husband asked me, did I want to go Sunday evening? Cause that's football night. So, American football is Sunday night football. And I said, no, I think I'm good. I think I'll pass. But I realized the contrast, right? Like God is working something in this home with us to make it available for his children to come and fellowship and for people to get delivered and ministered to and, you know, whatever his works are. God has works and plans for this home. And now my husband's going to his friend's house where they're having a sports bar in their home, right? Talk about contrast. And no judgment here, but I did pray and I said, Father God, show him the contrast, you know, between what it is that you're going to be doing for him in his life and with his family and in this home and where he's going now. You know, the world has nothing to offer. The world has nothing to offer people, but we do as believers because we're leaders. We have the light of God working in us to do and will of his good pleasure in this world. And, I'm just making myself available, and I'm just so thankful. So we're going to continue to pray for laborers and just stay with God, like Lauren says. Just stay with God. So that's it, family. I love you. Going back to work.
Well, that was awesome. Thank you, Sakina. Yes. That's amazing. That's great. Very inspirational. And great to see what God is doing in your life. And Millie, I meant to say just now, your friend, you've ministered to her already, so it's done. She's healed. And, you know, God doesn't break a promise, so he's already healed her. All right?
Yes, thank you. Praise be to God.
And it's all based on your faith. Your faith, you believe it's done, so it's done. You don't need anything else. It's done, so. So now I'm going to come back over to our neck of the woods and ask Danny and Amber to share, please, guys. My brother and sister from down the road.
All right. God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ.
You guys.
Hi, everyone. God bless.
God bless you.
Really great sharing, everyone, tonight. Really, really awesome on fire. And just really, really awesome just seeing everyone blessed and how God is so into our lives and into the details of our life. And, you know, he knows what makes us happy. You know, he wants us to have the best relationships. He wants us to really enjoy this life and keep it simple at the same time. You know, we don't have to complicate it. And, you know, just staying with God and just receiving his love and his peace and just being led of that spirit. And, you know, Sakina, what you shared was just really, really awesome. And, you know, it reminded me because when me and Amber, when we started fellowship, it was just me and her. And I think we went on for about 10-20 minutes for the first fellowship. And, you know, we just did the exact same. We just prayed and, you know, obviously just asked God to lead us. And that's our desire. And we made our request known to him. And then God started to send Helen, and Helen brought someone. And, you know, when we have fellowship, it's very relaxed. It's very easy. Everyone's able to talk, you know, it's very free in that manner. You know, it's not set that we open up with a word of prayer and then we sing songs and we have manifestation. There's no set way of doing anything but that we just let God lead and we let people share their hearts. And then, you know, we just allow God to work. And, you know, the fellowship Tuesday just gone was a really, really hot fellowship. You know, God is really building and, you know, all our chairs were filled. Praise be to God. And, you know, that's just a great encouragement from God. And that he's showing that it's by his hand. It's by God that he is the one that gives the increase. And there's nothing that we can do, no matter how much knowledge, how well and elegant we can speak. That's not going to bring the seats. That's not going to fill the seats. That's not going to bring growth in a person, you know. But it's God that is working the heart. He is the greatest heart surgeon. And he really knows how to prick the hearts. He really knows how to minister to the hearts. And, you know, he really knows how to make us happy and blessed. So when we just stay with him, stay with our Heavenly Father, keep focus on him. No matter what, it really doesn't matter. Like, even if we have moments of, you know, being upset, you know, or being not very happy, we just stay with God in that moment. And the best thing to do is keep silent, speak in tongues, and allow God to work within us. Because even in any of those moments, we can allow God to work within us. Because, you know, we have that great example of Jesus Christ, even to the moment of where, you know, the high priests and the Romans, they come and arrested Jesus and they were accusing him. Like, I know for myself, when I get accused of something and I haven't done anything, you know, I'm ready to kick off. I'm ready to get angry and yeah, I'm ready to fight because I haven't done anything wrong and you're accusing me. So how Jesus Christ was able to really just, you know, walk with God. And it was Dad that said it the other day, actually. I think it was me and Amber, and we were sat in his office, like, even to that point where Jesus Christ was standing in front of Pontius Pilate and they were asking the question, even God was energizing not to speak. like, God, we really do see how God worked within Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ really, you know, listened to God, listened to our Heavenly Father, and he only spoke what he wanted, you know, he only spoke what the Father spoke. He only did what he seen the Father do. And we can really walk in this manner because we are as Christ. We are seated on the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. And we can really move in the manner of how our Lord and Savior did. That when we deny ourselves and we really pick up the words from God and put them on in our lives, you know, that is our armor, that is our stand, and nothing can prevail against the word of God. And we are the carriers of that word, and we allow God to work within us, that every moment, okay, God, you give me the words in this situation, you speak through me, God. And sometimes you don't even have to think, it's just there, it just comes. But sometimes we are, okay, God, you give me the words. And like, God is willing and able to give us the solution, give us the answer, whatever it may be. God can reveal to us because we are his sons and daughters. So we just continue to seek the kingdom of God first. You know, we don't get weary in well doing, because if we faint not, we shall reap that blessing. We just keep with God, no matter the negativity or bad words or bad thoughts. Obviously, bad thoughts, we lead them into captive. We bring that into the obedience of Christ. So we just do with what God is putting in our heart to do. And we just stay with him. And we see that end result, like, to be reminded of these things. That we look at the end result, and we don't look to the left nor to the right, but we see it as done. You know, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, like, we have so much to look forward to. There's so much good preordained works that God have for us, and that we just speak his word. We just speak forth with what God is putting in our heart to speak. And if he's not putting anything in our heart to speak, then don't speak. Don't waste your words. You know, don't cast your pearls before swine, those beautiful words. We really want to do everything by the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is available. And it's very simple. There's no scientific way or, like, long way of going about it. We just do what God is putting in our heart, and we stay focused, we stay on that course, we run the race that is set before us, because we're fighting the good fight of faith, that every day we seek God, and that we put him first in everything that we do, and no matter what's going on, that we know God is with us, that he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he has his angels round about us, you know, and when we move together in like-mindedness, that the devils, they're gone, they're running, sickness will flee from you, because God has appointed this for our life, God has appointed this, we're not just making this up, this is the promises of God, and the promises of God are yes and amen. And God is surely not slack concerning his promises. He knows what he has said, and he will perform what he has said. So, like, we really are seated in that higher position. And so, like, we just continue to walk this life with great authority, with great confidence, knowing that God is that source of joy, that source of peace, the source of finances, the source of being prosperous in a business if we work. Knowing that God is the one, he is the source of all this supply. And that's why we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We just rest in God. It's great. Like, this is the abundant life that we are willing and able. When we're willing and able, God goes to work. But when we're full of pride and think we know it all, we shut the doors of heaven. We really do. God cannot go to work for us. And, you know, then therefore he will not send the laborers to our airport. And so that's why we stay meek and humble, ready and willing to do what God is putting in our heart to do. And then, you know, like Dad was sharing, like, he's ready. He's ready for when people come. Like, he's just there. He's ready. He's staying with God. And God is rising up that spirit within him. So then when those moments of opportunity arise, he's ready. The words from God come and people get delivered. People get set free from the power of darkness. Right? Because people are lost. People are stuck in a tradition and what seems right to this world, to this life. But we're not under the rules and regulation of this life. We are far above powers and principalities. We are far above any of this. Like, it has no dominion in our life. And we don't look to the tribulations of this life, but we look and keep our eyes upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where we keep our eyes, on the head of the church. You know, our Savior, who willingly did the will of God, willingly laid down his life. Are we willing to lay down our life? You know? And that's where it really comes down to. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to refrain from our own knowledge of what we've learned or what we know or what we may have been taught by this world? Okay? Are we willing to refrain from that and to really allow God to work within us, to really take on the whole armor? You know, with what God has said, that's what we hold on to. When everything is on fire around us, burning and breaking down, is the word of God enough? That's where it comes to. And when we are led of God, the word of God is enough. Nothing will move us. Nothing shall shake us, because our house is built on that wonderful rock foundation, solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. So we shall not be moved. The winds and the rains might come, but we shall not be moved, because we are receiving the sound words. We are doing with what God is putting in our heart to do. Nothing that comes against us shall prosper. No weapon, no circumstances that come against us or try to even rise above us will prosper. It shall be brought to its knees, because we are sons and daughters of the living God, the Almighty God. And this is why we are praying for the laborer. Because this is the work. This is the work that God has given to each and every person, every believer. Every believer has been given the word and ministry of reconciling men and women back to God. So, you know, I hear lots of people, well, you know, I'm not really a people person, I don't really talk. Though, because that's from the old man. The new man is willing and able to speak the words from God, because it's not you, but it's Christ living within us. This is appointed for each and every believer, that we pray for the hungry laborers. Because when we have our own will in mind, we are not going to do the will of God. But when we surrender our life and deny ourselves and become meek and humble to the one true living God, then his desires become our desire. And so then, when that happens, then we pray, then we want, the desire comes. God is infusing that desires, because we're not leaning unto the old man, but we're leaning unto the new man, that spirit, Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ said, the Comforter, you know, he won't leave us comfortless, right? He will send the Comforter, which is that Holy Spirit. And this is where we lean unto. We lean unto the leading of that wonderful spirit that God has given us. Because God teaches our spirit, and our spirit is teaching our minds, is teaching us. And so when we are saying and confessing what God is saying, God is going to work. Because it's his words, and he's ready to perform those words that he has put in our hearts, that he has already said, and that what he is going to say, he's ready to do it. He's ready to work, ready to do. So, you know, be not wary, and know that when you speak, it will surely come to pass. Because if you speak what is lining up with what God is saying, God will make it come to pass. So sickness will have to flee. Like, really, it's finished. Jesus Christ said it was finished. So, by his stripes, we were healed. It's been done. It's been paid for. So now all we have to do is come into alignment with that. And God will bring the manifestation of that. Because he has said it, and he will surely do it. I've seen it. You know, like, it's so powerful that God is able, God is willing to go exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. All that we ask, he will go over and above. So, like, what a great, great time to rejoice and to be glad and to be happy. Even if you've got every opposition coming at you, be blessed, be happy. It doesn't matter. Like, God is with you. God has made us victorious. God has seated us. We are on the highest seat. We can't get any higher. We are on the right hand side of God. Like, I remember when I was a kid and I would be with my mum and dad, and I know they would never let any harm come to me, and I could be confident because they were my protectors, right? Think how much more God is there. So, like, that's why I could imagine Paul saying, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. You know, he wasn't saying that out of his own confidence, but he was saying it through the Spirit of the living God. Because when God is for you, nothing can be against you. He causes us to triumph. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us by the still waters. We will always bear fruit in season and out of season. So when people are saying, oh, you're not going to have light and energy and this is happening, this is going on, my God leads me by the still waters. And when I am by the still waters, my roots are feeding into that. So no matter what, if it's bad season, dry season, I will bear fruit. God will cause me to bear fruit in every situation. God will cause me to bear fruit no matter what is going on in this world. Because it will bring glory to his name. It will draw men unto him because his light is shining through our lives. So we are able. And we are ready, guys. Let's begin to do what God has put in our hearts to do. Let's not shy away. Let's not get distracted with the things of this life. With work and all this, we need to be focused with God. Don't let your work, you know, I'm a busy man, but I try and I put my diligent effort not to allow me to be distracted from work. No matter what I try, I do it with God, and I will put everything I can, because that's what God has put in my heart to do. And so that's where the focus lies, and nothing will take us off. You know, it really does remind me of that boxer. You know, you can't take the shit. Like, don't allow it. You tell it to go. You speak to it. Whatever it is, you speak to it in the name of Jesus Christ. And you call your end result. And you don't allow anything to bust that bubble. Because that's what we're in. We're in God's bubble. And nothing, it's just like saying I'm in God's hands. Nothing can take me out of that bubble. Nothing can take me out of the hands of God. Nothing. Because God is for us. This is the day of salvation. I will be glad and I will rejoice in it. So I love you guys, and God is great. And just keep focused, stay with God, and know that he's fighting your battles, and the battle is already won. So here's my lovely, beautiful wife, Fee.
Awesome. Thank you, Danny. Well, God bless you all wonderfully in the name of Jesus Christ. And I've been really blessed tonight to hear all the wonderful things that God is doing in everyone's life and how people are just keeping it simple. They're going to the one true living God. They're listening to the encouragement being given and they're just seeing results, fruit. You know, I love what you said, Sakina, that you know where that you know where your connecting is right because you're bearing fruit. And, you know, when we're doing things truly with God and it's God-led, we will bear fruit. We will bear much fruit. And it won't be in a year, in 3 years, in 10 years. It will be according to our desire, our faith, and our humbleness to receive the words we're receiving and to put it into practice. And I don't know where to start tonight, really, because God continues to go exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. He continues to show me who he is on a day-to-day basis. You know, we are all fully equipped. We all have that power from on high. We have that gift of Holy Spirit. The day that we receive that Holy Spirit, we're fully equipped. We're fully able to do all the things that God says that we're able to do because it's not Amber needing to do it. You know, the old shy, timid Amber is no longer there. I'm alive in Christ. I'm Christ, Christ within me. And I'm moving with the power that God has given me to move in because I'm confident, or my spirit is confident in God. My spirit is moving in the ability in which God has given me to move in. And it really takes the pressure away from us as individuals. It takes the pressure off of us trying to do things in our own strength. Yes, sometimes our carnal mind comes in because we care or we want to see something happen or emotions and different things may come in. But that's why it's so important to really just get peaceful and to go to God and to know that we're moving in the direction God is leading. Because eventually he will lead us to the place that we're rushing into. Or eventually he will lead us into the open doors that he needs us to go through without us needing to kick them doors in ourselves. And so for me, the last week have just been absolutely incredible. The doors God is opening is all glory to him because he's fully equipped me. He's made me, like Lawrence shared in his sharing, you know, he's ready. And God has made us all ready. And as long as we have that humble heart to say to God, I am ready when anyone comes to my door or sees me in the street or needs to ring my telephone, that I am ready, that it's not Amber that they're going to get. It's going to be you, God, because I'm ready to give an answer to every man that seeks after you, because I'm trusting that God is working in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm trusting that through the things that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, you know, the fundamentals, we hear about it all the time, I believe that I'm walking by that spirit. So this week, last week actually, or the week before, we had, so as you all know, we don't have a camera on our laptop, this laptop that we got. We have one on our telephone. However, it's just really awkward to hold your phone for so long. Especially with the two of us here. If it was just me, it probably wouldn't be too bad, or just Annie. So anyway, and our desire has been to be able to fellowship properly, you know, to have our camera on, but it's just not been possible. We just haven't had the resources. And then God really worked in a wonderful believer about 2 weeks ago to contact Lawrence, and then they contacted us in regards to wanting to bless us with a laptop. They really wanted to see us as we were sharing each week and when we led the leaders meeting. And God really put the burning desire on their heart for to buy us a laptop. And now for me and Danny, that was really out of the blue. It was a real blessing and an absolute amazing blessing because it's a desire that we lifted to God many months ago. You know, we do have a computer that Lawrence blessed us with not long ago, but it's in our hallway and it's a very small space. So when we have fellowship for long periods of time, we like to be in our lounge, on our table, where we're more comfy. When God blesses us with our beautiful new house, we'll be able to have the computer in a bigger space. However, right now it's just the space issue. So God went exceedingly abundantly above to bless us with this beautiful laptop. We got to choose the laptop that we wanted, and we really did get a very, very good, beautiful laptop. And that came today. Unfortunately, by the time I got home from work and we did dinner, we didn't have enough time to set it up. But next week we will have the camera. You'll be able to see us. We'll be able to see you. And we're just rejoicing in God, you know, because now we'll be able to have a laptop that wherever we go around the world, you know, like our desire is really to travel the world, travel this beautiful globe that God has created for us to be able to see. And when he opens the door for us to be able to go and minister or preach or do whatsoever, we then are connected fully wherever we go. You know, we're not hindered by technology. So we were just so blessed to receive this laptop. I was so thankful to receive it today, and I was jumping and I was happy and I was blessed and I was so thankful because, you know, we all have our own ready-made fields. You know, Lawrence shared that he got spoken into his life on two different occasions by two different people that he's to move the word throughout the whole of United Kingdom, Europe and the world. And, you know, we can all claim on that also, you know, because we all have the ability to have our own ready-made fields according to our own desire. And where God can lead, you're all in, around many parts of the world, and God can have many fellowships coming from where you live, going through and out to the uttermost parts of the world. So when we're have the connections and the ability to move and to go where God is leading, it's just really, really exciting because my heart is to travel, but my heart more so, my desire is for the United Kingdom, you know, from the north to the east, to the south, to the west. And I do really believe with my whole heart that the United Kingdom is going to see a revival, if that's what you want to call it, or an outreach, but it's going to see people come from darkness to light like never been seen before. The sound doctrine that we're receiving and that we're practicing this sound doctrine, and then how people are really grasping this sound doctrine and moving forward. So within a year of starting fellowship, we have Helen who comes to our fellowship, and Danny's already shared our fellowship is thriving. On it went from being just the four of us to now having the six of us around our table again, and different people are coming each week. Some are staying, you know, Helen and Maureen, they've been consistent for a year. We've had Neville, who actually runs his own fellowship over the road, but in a different kind of way, who's seeking and is hungering after the truth and the simplicity of how to move with God. And he came, and then we have different people who are just coming and going. We have another lady called Tracy who came with Helen, because all these people, apart from Neville, have initially come from Helen, which God working in her, both willing to do of his good pleasure. You know, she connected to us. She received the sound doctrine that we're receiving and what God has given us to give her. She is then going out with her own individual walk with God, and she is reconciling people back to God. You know, she is truly a woman who is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because she is preaching, she is loving on people, she is walking by the Spirit, and she is just moving wherever God leads her. And she encourages me so much because she's very confident that if she doesn't need to speak, she will not speak. She's very confident if she feels inspired to speak, she's going to speak about the goodness of God, and she's not going to have any shame, any hesitation. She's just going to speak. And so since we started fellowship, you know, we pray for that one hungry laborer who's equivalent to a million. And then that person will pray for the one who's equivalent to a million. And then we see this outreaching growth. We see this like a snowball effect. We see it go around consistently where people are just being shown and proven the love of God and who God, the one true living God, is. And it takes one person to have a humble heart to move and receive, which Lawrence was with his journey than I was with my journey, and now Helen is with her journey, and it's really pricking the hearts of all these individuals to the point where one of the ladies, Maureen, who's at our fellowship, she's now doing this and going to bring more people. So it's just really great how God sets it up. It's really great, the simplicity of when we just stay humble, we just do what God puts in our heart. Like, yes, Sakina, amen and hallelujah to you starting your fellowship. It's going to grow. It's going to prosper. Don't despise small beginnings, you know. You keep doing that. Keep doing what God puts in your heart. Because at the end of the day, it's profitable to God for us to do these things. You know, he wants to do these things in our life. We're just a vessel, a very powerful vessel, but we're just a vessel that is saying yes, and we're humble to want to do the things that God is putting in our heart to do. Going back 3 years ago, I couldn't have thought of anything worse than having fellowship, you know, and having people come to my home and speaking to people and having different people who I didn't know come into my home. Like, that just wasn't me. That was, like Danny shared, that wasn't my personality. I'm quite shy, or I was a shy, timid girl who would just be happy with my own content life. But God knows the best. God knows the best plan for us. And when our hearts are truly desiring his way above our own way, he's able to direct and lead and move the mountains so that people can truly be reconciled back to him. So people are not stuck in this world of negativity and doctrines and ideology from men. But people are coming alive with the testimony of our life. And they're being set free and being able to have a relationship with their God, their one true living God, Jehovah. So throughout all of this, God with the laptop and then seeing our fellowship on Tuesday, which was just so vibrant, and there was so much deliverance and so much greatness going on. Prior to this, so Helen, she has a daughter, and she has two daughters, but and two sons, but one of her daughters, I think it's her oldest daughter, who has been going through lots of different things over the last few years. You know, been a young woman who lives in the world, which we've all lived in the world, and not having an understanding of God, and having lots of needs within herself and within her home. And however, she's been talking to Helen, because obviously she has a very great relationship with her mum. And she's been talking to her mom about certain things. Well, anyway, on Saturday, I think, last Thursday or one of the days last week, Helen encouraged Keely, her name's Keely, that if she wants to know more, then she would encourage her to connect to me. Speak to Amber, just give her a text, give her a call. I don't understand how it all worked out, but Keely ended up contacting me. And just talking about loads of things that's been going on in her life and that she's reaching out. And I was very bold in my message that I sent back to her. I didn't send back any message from Amber or anything that I wanted. I didn't send a message straight away. I lifted it to God. And when I got peaceful and I felt that it was the right time to message, bang, God give her the words of life. God give her the words that she needed to hear in that moment. And I made it very clear that the only answer to all of these problems are God, is God. The only master fixer who's been able to change all of this around will be God. And so I prompted her, if she wanted to meet for a coffee or something, then I'm more than open for that. And instantly she messaged me back, yes, I would love to meet for a coffee. So I think it was on the Friday. So anyway, on the Saturday, I went and met her for a coffee, and we were talking for about 2 hours. She was asking lots of questions. She was seeking lots of answers. There was lots of deliverance that she needed, and we were just talking. I wasn't being a dictator. I was just sharing living examples of my own life. There's a lot of experiences that she's going through. I've experienced in a very strong way also. So I was able to give her lots of encouragement, lots of love, really edify her and build her up, explain to her, you know, the power of God, and that when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we receive that Holy Spirit, that our lives can truly be transformed. but how much do we want it, you know? And I really encouraged her. I said, Keely, you have to go to God. You know, I am here for you 24 hours of the day. You contact me, you ring me, whatsoever you need, I will be here. But I am not able to help you. It's God who is able to help you. God is able to deliver you and set you free. God is able to bring that peace and that comfort and all these things, like loads and loads. Well, for 2 hours, you could imagine there was lots of things shared. However, so that was great. So then she went home that night, that day, and then she messaged me on the evening about some stuff. And again, I didn't receive the message till the Sunday. And on the Sunday, I just went to prayer. And because if you know me, like I love to intercede, I love to pray. That's where I get most of my joy and comfort out of life, you know, is just praying and interceding for people. And I was really praying for her, and God just gave me some clear things to say. And I said to her, if you listen to what I'm saying, not as the words of Amber, but the words from God, and you say these things, your life will change really, really quickly. And I just give her some of the confessions that we declare. You know, I am a conqueror. I am a child of God. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings and loads of things that she was able, like practical application, basically. Well, anyway, I left her to it, and I didn't really message Helen. You know, it's a bit, because Helen's her mom, and I did say to Keely, you know, whatever we talk about is between us. Your mom is your mom. However, Keely obviously speaks to her mom, and it's been, agreed that this has been able to be spoken about openly today. Well, anyway, so then on the Monday, Keely and Helen will be able to elaborate a little bit better in a bit anyway. Keely had messaged me a voice recording just saying how blessed she is. You know, she started to have some real issues with her neighbour. Now, her neighbour's her friend, but since meeting me on the Saturday, her neighbour's just not been very nice, been quite verbally aggressive, making some really crazy allegations against her and her family, and really just Keely just felt really deflamed by it, you know. She's meant to be her friend, but she said, you know, she just lifted it to God, she went to God, and in the message you could just see and hear, because she did me an audio, how pure and humble her heart was. The way that she reached out to God, the things that she was saying to God was just her. There was no airs and graces, you know. That was just Keely releasing everything to her Heavenly Father. And she just gave all this to God about certain things and said, God, if you're, you need to show me, you need to help me, let me know who you are, or whoever you are, you need to show me. Something like this. I can't remember the exact words. Helen might be able to know a bit later. But she said something to God. Now, prior to this, Keely has been waiting on some new accommodation, a new house, a bigger house, because her daughter and son can no longer share a bedroom. And over here in the United Kingdom, there's lots of social housing, and you can bid and get bigger properties if you're eligible for them. Well, anyway, going back a couple of months ago, Keely was offered this house said that she was going to have this house. But then, all of a sudden, they said she wasn't eligible for it. So she went from being number one back down to like 93. So this really discouraged her. You know, she started to prepare her two-bedroom house and made room for her son downstairs and everything, and started to just prepare for basically staying there, because she was obviously really discouraged. Well, anyway, on the Monday, after seeing me and after really going to God with the words that I'd encouraged her to go to God with, on the Monday, she really poured her heart out to God and she'd had an email from these housing people to say that they would really like to offer her this house in Mangotsfield. It's a 3-bedroom house, and if she would like to offer it, it's hers if she wants it, basically. So instantly she messaged me, and again, like I said to Keely, it's an awesome testimony that God has blessed you with that house. But the testimony above all of it is the whole, from the time that you reached out for me, when your mom spoke to you, your mom spoke the words of life into you. You then listened to your mom. You reached out to me. You didn't know what you were going to get from me. You don't know me. and you reached out, you listened to me, you were humble to listen to the words that I spoke into your life. You could have just thought there's no way, she's just crazy religious or whatsoever. But then you reached out, you listened to what I said, you reached out to God, and instantly God answered your prayers. Instantly, God wanted you to know, I have your back. You are in the palm of my hand. And this is just the surface. This is just the surface. You know, she hasn't even got to anything yet. This was just a taste and see that God Jehovah is good. Taste and see that I am your dad. I am Jehovah and I love you. And if you keep your eyes fixed on me, I will be with you forever, you know. And I really just got to encourage her that we go to God as ourselves, with no airs and graces. We go to God as we are, you know, and the more and more and more we go to God, the more he gives us experiences and the more our faith is built, the more that we're encouraged and we're enlightened. So she's been staying connected like pretty much all week. I've spoken, she's been leaving me audios or like text messages pretty much all week. And it's just really incredible, you know. And then I got to encourage her again, because she's very bold. She's very much like, I've said this to God and I've done this and I've not taken any more rubbish. I've said, no, I'm not taking it anymore. And her heart is just so pure. Like, she's got a heart like her mother and like her father in heaven, but like her mother, like she's going to be a firecracker, just like Helen, if she continues in the way that God is leading her, if she continues and not lets the distractions take her out. And again, the part of this testimony, the major part of this testimony for me, is that Helen is praying for her family daily. Helen speaks the words of life into her family daily, if they want to receive it or not. For the first year, her whole family just thought she was probably a bit cuckoo and just lost, didn't know what she was on or joined a cult or whatsoever, you know. But over time, with Helen being consistent, with Helen being really, really humble to God and not moving, not being moved from anything. And Helen has had some pretty big daggers chucked at her. She's had some pretty intense situations come her way. But she has not been moved. She has stayed steadfast in God's doctrine. She has stayed continuously with the encouragement she's been given. And through that, her family can see that actually this is Helen now. And there must be something in it, because Helen's not a person who just goes on things for a whim. And her family are seeing this. So for her daughter to see this, and now her daughter to be receiving these sound words, this sound doctrine, and for her daughter to go directly to her source, God Jehovah, he is able to enlighten the eyes of her understanding and continuing to lead her in the path of righteousness. And all it took was for Helen's obedience to listen to God to prompt her to me. Helen could have thought, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I could do it myself, or I'm going to send her to Lawrence, or I'm going to send her to whoever. But she didn't. She did what God inspired her to do. And then her daughter listened. She did that, you know, and it's just continuous. It is just continuous. And I'm just so thankful for God and what he is doing, first and foremost in mine and my husband's life, but how he really sent that one hungry laborer. That one, because I ain't putting no one on a pedestal and I'm not being biased, but Helen is equivalent to a million, because the words that she is sowing, the simplicity of the doctrine she has received, and she just moves, you know, from speaking in tongues. We encouraged about speaking in tongues. There was people within our fellowship at the time that was quite ridicule in it. Well, if you do that, I'm going to laugh. If you do this, is not right. God told me that's not. There was loads of stuff being said from different people, but Helen didn't listen to that. She listened to what God was telling her, and within a week or two, bang, speaking in tongues and interpretation. The first day that she came to fellowship, the first ever day, she came with money to give. She didn't even know the understanding of honoring God, sowing and reaping. She didn't know any of it, but she came with a heart to give. And I really believe, because she came with that heart from day one to give, God was able to truly just activate her in such a powerful way. And I'm sorry, Helen, that I've spoke a lot about you right now, but you have just really encouraged me the way that God is moving in your family's life. Even Helen, I'm sure she'll talk about her partner when she shares, even her partner that even a year ago would just even tell Helen to go into a different room when she was on fellowship is now encouraging her when the time's coming. Oh, are you not going on that meeting? Is that meeting not ready? You know, so great, great things are happening here in the United Kingdom through the sound doctrine, through the right words, through the love and encouragement that we're not tearing people down. We're lifting people up. We're staying focused. We're staying God-driven, not people-driven. And we're continuing in the way that God is inspiring us to continue. So our fellowship is growing. All glory and thanks be to God. You know, my sofas are going to be filled up next. And it's not even that I want the glory. It's not even that I'm getting any, the only thing I'm getting from this is being able to give God so much glory because he's proven himself day after day, time after time. He's not just proven himself with the abundant sharing and the speaking in tongues and the walking by the Spirit. He's proven himself with the fruit that you shall know them by their fruit, and their fruit is going to be continuous. And I'm just so excited. I'm so happy. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so blessed. And God is getting all the glory. So again, I have to give thanks to Lawrence and Kim, my faithful ministers in God, the people who have encouraged me from day one, who have uplifted me to a place where I am now able to move freely with the confidence knowing that God is truly moving. And through that, Helen is now like me. Like I am like Lawrence, and Lawrence is like Sangha, and Sangha, like that sense, like we're all like Jesus. We are exactly like Jesus, but in the flesh, you know, like how Timothy was the, like the tupos of Paul, you know, we should all be after the same. We should all be this, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but there should be a repetitive after its own kind. That's the word, Danny, because it's all after God's kind. Yeah. And imitation. Yes. Amen. Kelly, we are all imitators of God. And if we're all imitators in God and we're on the same doctrine in the same way, signs, miracles and wonders follow those who believe. And it might not be how we see it. Me seeing that whole testimony from Keely from Friday to Monday. Wow. 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 All glory and hallelujah to our God. So that's what I wanted to share. I rambled on. I'm sorry.
You didn't ramble on. That was powerful. That was really wonderful. Danny and Amber, you guys are on fire, and you're very humble as well. And I mean, very humble in your hearts and in your service. And you look to God and you don't put anyone on a pedestal, which is fantastic. But you receive the words gladly, that you're encouraged, and you know, God's working in you and showing you many wonderful things. And you're doing it with God, and that's what it's all about. We let people free with God, and we just keep moving and encouraging and loving one another. And so God gets all the glory because none of us could do this in their own strength. I've done it for many years before and never seen too much. But now I'm seeing lots of quality, heart, understanding, wisdom, growth, people moving very quickly. Because this is the heart of God for all of us, if we just go to him and just, you know, surrender our own self and just be obedient to him. And I'm also thankful for the truth that, you know, from Sangha, because he really encouraged and stuck to his guns as he knew. And he's seen the things that are happening in India and Nepal. And then he just encouraged me, you know, and there was a time I wasn't humble to everything that he said. And I was getting very mixed results. You know, I was getting some, but not like I'm doing now. And then God brought, see, God is the one that gets us to the humble place. Because when we're not humble, he'll make us humble. Because he loves us. He wants us to really flourish and grow. But he needs us to give him permission to go to work by believing what he's saying. And when we do that, then the things change for us and then we come into peace. And then our faith is soaring like the eagles. So really wonderful encouragement, really great. I want to ask Ethel and Ross next. And then after that, I want to ask who's on here? Where are they gone? Are they still here? Yeah, let's start with Ethel and Ross. Need to unmute, darling. God bless you.
Hello, hello. God bless you all. Ross is in the other room because we're echoing. But, wow, how am I going to top Amber? Amber, God bless your heart, you and Danny. You guys are just powerhouses. Woo-hoo. Everybody is. I've been so encouraged. And this week has been so amazing. It's like any week, actually. I was just sitting here thinking, wow, you know, we don't have to be God Jr. God is the one who's doing all the works. I'm so thankful. I'm like so joyful because laborers, they're coming in. I mean, Millie, bless your heart, honey. She's already ministering, okay? Ministering. Cancer, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. She's commanding it to go. She's using her authority and power as we should. God is good, you guys. I mean, we can do the same works. Like I said last week in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, it lists about all the 9 manifestations. It's totally available. And, yeah, and the best part, the fundamentals with speaking in tongues much. Oh, been doing that a lot lately, a lot. And honoring your first fruits. It is huge, you guys. I cannot stress that enough. I mean, what, the other day, I love my mailbox these days. Every time I open it, there's something in there. I got this really cool debit card. I mean, it was for $200. $200 is $200. I'm all for it. But it is part of a payment from when I took a class like months ago. I thought I was already paid, but I guess God wanted to bless me some more. That is added bonus. I am like, I'll take it, God. I know He's working in my life. Like Sakina's talking about first fruits or fruit, you get much fruit. Amazing. It's just one of the fruit of the spirits, you know, being fruitful. And I'm seeing it, you guys. I'm seeing it. Honoring your first fruits, it is huge. And then talking to people about God, how much more? I just love my life. And as I, like, hear you guys' sharings, like, who was it that said, oh, it's Kathy, have fun with God. You know, good times, let it roll, yeah. And, I am just having such a good time with God. I don't need anything else, really. It's just God. Like, see how blessed I am. The other day I was working, you know me, sampling at Costco. This guy comes to my station and he said, you know, I don't really do samples, but I heard your voice from the other aisle. There's just so much sweetness and tenderness. And I'm like, oh God, it had to be God. And you know, he was just drawn just to my voice. And I know it's got to be God's voice working. He said, I will sample your popcorn. It was sampling popcorn. He goes, I'll sample it, but I had to come here to hear that tender voice that you have. And I'm like, ooh, it's you, God, working. You know, he can even hear it from the next aisle. I love it, you guys. You know, I just know that God is working in my life. I don't have to, like, really reach out like that, but people come. And I am so, so blessed. You know, I always say Genesis 12:2 says, I have blessed you so you become a blessor. I just love that. I carry it with me all the time. Now, like, wherever I am, it's like, who can I bless next? What can I do for you, God? And here's the other thing. I know Millie, she's doing volunteer works and stuff. God has inspired me as well. Yesterday I went to the hospital where my mom had surgery, but I have seen, you know, they have volunteer people that works at the hospital. Oh, and I said one day, man, I could do that. And then I'm envisioning you guys, my fields, whether it's at Costco or the hospital, the grocery store, the gas station, wherever. God, let me speak for you. I am so, like, on fire with God, and I just love him so much, you guys. And I know, like, with Millie, what a laborer. She is just, every day we have a Zoom fellowship, really? And I just, like, I was so inspired because, like, with Amber, she talked about Helen. Millie didn't have any classes. You know, the weeks ahead, too. She just spoke in tongues and interpreted. She just began. Bless her heart. Oh, my God. She just beautifully manifests like that. And it's just so amazing what God will do as you speak for him, as you talk, as you make things available. I mean, I tell you guys, I know that my fellowship is growing in leaps and bounds. Last Sunday, Ross is here right now, and he was the one that shared. I tell you, it is so moving. Thank you, Ross. You know, he was starting to get stressed because, and I know I mentioned this last week, because, oh, it's the old way of teaching. And he's like, oh, my God, I got to do this big old research. I said, Ross, no, relax. Tell what's in your heart. Tell people what God has been doing in your life and the fruits of it. You know, he brought already two people, two women, that's been coming consistently to fellowship. I am just, like, amazed, you guys. These are laborers, like Amber says. You know, takes only one, maybe two, and win millions. Amazing, amazing, you guys. I love it. And God is just leading the way. You know, I am in Happyville because of this. I'm so joyous. It's just very exciting and so much fun with God. I mean, Kathy was mentioning that. How fun with God. And so Ross was sharing, and bless his heart, he just shared what God has been doing in his life, who has been talking to about God. And after he's sharing, you guys, people in fellowship just started sharing as well. They were so inspired. He'll tell you about it. And then, I know I talked about last week about, the one-on-ones. Lawrence, I am here, second Lore. I love it. Sakina and I had a big one-on-one, I think last weekend. It was amazing. And, you know, as she poured her heart out and we talked about it, we fellowship. I've been praying for her all week. Anyway, I pray for you guys every day. Hey, maybe sometimes one of you guys, we can have a one-on-one. It is so powerful, as Lauren says. Ask Amber. She does it with Lawrence all the time. And with the one-on-ones, too, it gives me a chance to grow even more with God and minister to people as I get ministered myself. Because I don't know what in people's hearts are, but when they speak to you, they talk about it, I just sit there and listen. And that's also part of ministering to people, you know. You just sit there and listen. And then I notice, like, God gives me the wisdom what to say or what to pray about, you know, about this person. But it is an amazing thing, the one-on-ones. Highly encourage it. It's such a powerhouse, and I can't stress it enough. And it's happening, you guys. Like I said, after we do our Zoom fellowship every day, we have like another two more sessions, I think, or a session and a half with Acts Now. I told those guys, look, I am going to do one-on-ones at least three times a week. And then I'll join the Zoom like twice in a week. And it's happening, though. It is starting, you guys. I'm very excited. Try it next time, you guys. It is amazing. And God, like Sakina says, you know, will just give you those heavenly words, those Rhema words. as I practice it more and more, I know I'm just getting better. And I just love it. I get encouraged as I speak. And then I amaze myself. I'm like, wow, God, did I say that? So, but I know it's God. And, you know, I like I said earlier, I don't want to be God Junior. No, that's not my job. I just want to walk with God and let Him lead the way. So then the burden is off of you. Let the burden be a blessing, you know, in any given situation. And like I said, I'm going to volunteer at the hospital, and I am envisioning fields and fields. My shield is in Costco, yeah, but also I can just see that at the hospital, especially at a place like that, there's so many people that is wanting healing, deliverance, not just physically, emotionally, but also spiritually. That's huge. That's number one. So God's directing me there and see what happens. And, yeah, you guys, it is an amazing walk, and our fellowships here are growing in leaps and bounds. Just like how Amber is so excited with Helen, I am just so excited with Millie here and with Ross. They are laborers. And before I go, I just want to introduce you. Ross is here. He's actually here at my house because it's so funny because, honestly, our Zoom fellowship, I would call it the senior outreach. All of us are not, you know, suave with computers and all of that. Thankfully, Millie is. But then all of us are up there, and sometimes we can't figure it out. But thankfully, with my practice, every time I get on Zoom, I know now. But I know Ross has had challenges. And so he came to my house. I demonstrated him. Thank you, God. That's another miracle that happened. This had to be you. And I know he knows how to use it now. He's there in the living room and with his phone. So he's going to go ahead and... You share next, Ross. Take it away, brother.
Okay. Can anybody hear me?
Okay, your connection's a bit crackly, but carry on and we'll see.
Okay. I'm speaking for myself.
You're going to have to use Ethel's, Ross, because your connection is all...
Yeah, I'm going to bring it there. Okay, give us a minute, please.
Okay, while you do that, I wanted to share after Ethel, like, what she was saying again about the one-on-ones, you know, is really important. And, you know, like, for me, I encourage it. I do. I have my one-on-ones with Sangha. I know where God wants me to connect. I don't go anywhere else because I know where God wants me to be fed. And the information that he wants me to have. And so I keep my focus in that one place, unless God was told me to change it, which he hasn't. So this is a really great practice to do. And then I say, Father, okay, you connect to me, who you really want to be connected to me. So I know who my laborers are and who I'm working with. So like that way, like God's a God of order, decent and in order. So there's no confusion. And then people are grow, but people are free to do what they want as well. And so, but I just see the benefits of knowing where God wants us to be, who he wants us to connect to. I'm not connected in three or four different places. And this is real, real good for focus and also listening to the Father, what he's saying. So yeah, that's really great, Ethel, and God's doing some really mighty things. And he'll continue to do that as you continue to practice, and he'll build your faith, and he'll bring those certain people that he wants connected to you, which you're going to feed perfectly for them. So, yeah, wonderful, Sharon. And, okay, Ross, now you share.
Okay, I'm glad to be here.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me out there?
Yeah, we can hear you, brother. Carry on, mate.
Okay. I'm glad to be with you today, and I'm inspired by everybody I've been hearing talk, and I'm blessed to be with Ethel here, and she wanted me to tell my testimony. And so about 6 years ago, I started fellowshipping with some people older than me. Their name was Barless and Lee Trippett, and they lived here in Santa Clara in Oregon, and they had me come over. And first I met him at a senior's lunch, and I asked him if they would like to hear some CDs, and they told me they would, and I gave some good CDs to them, and which taught them more about God and His Word, and then I was invited into their house, and so the friendship is still going on, but Lee has passed away. But the interesting thing about it was, I seemed to be at the right place at the right time, and Lee had been involved in he had been a physics professor, and he had also been the head person of a computer for a community college, and so he was a very, very smart guy, but he had been doing some research in God's Word, and he learned that Jesus Christ is our brother. And then so I just think God had me be there and befriend him and teach him God's Word to the best quality that I could, and I started teaching that that Trinity was wrong, and we needed to believe in one God, and like a first of the Ten Commandments, it says that the Lord thy God is one God, thou shalt have no other gods before me, So it really made sense to them, because that's what they had believed also, and they had been going to the there's a big ministry here in town, and the minister wouldn't even listen to them. So we just kept on fellowshipping, and they had me go with them about three or four times to Dallas, Texas area, and we visited with their son, and Lee kept on going downhill, but we prayed him and we prayed for him, and we taught him God's Word, and Marlis was the one that was learning the most, and so I call Marlis three times a week, and she is very grateful for our friendship, and I'm grateful for her friendship, and I'm just then after I did that, and we would go out to eat at a hometown buffet, and one day she needed to go to urgent care, and so I took her to urgent care, and by the end of that evening, she ended up needing an operation, and I think the operation saved her life. So I was able to be a part in her and in her life, and then we have become good friends, and I've been able to teach her that one God is where it's at, and every time you see Jesus, you don't think God, you think Jesus, the anointed of God, or the Son of God, and you just magnify that, and she gets it, And then, meanwhile, I was going, I'm in the Lions Club, and they sent us to a Methodist church, and then I went on Wednesday, and I met another lady named Sharon, and I started speaking to a couple people there, especially with Sharon, and then there was David, and then there was his wife Patty, people have a hard time understanding that or believing that Jesus is anointed of God, and he's not God. He's the Lamb of God. And so I have been teaching them, and David finally got to the point that he was saying he didn't understand one God, but he could be wrong. So he was admitting that he got into a bad accident, and he ended up passing away. And then Patty, I kept on fellowshipping with his wife and fellowshipping with Sharon, and we're kind of a group of three people, and we're encouraging each other and blessing each other, and I'm trying to teach them more, and they're listening, and we went to a Baptist church and went to a grief share, and the thing that that I was surprised with the grief share, they're not talking about how we have an adversary. In John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ, the anointed of God, says that I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, or life to the fullest. So Jesus Christ wants us to have life to the fullest. And he wants us to know that it's about one true God, and the master anointed of God, Jesus Christ. And he's the head of the body of Christ, and we're members in particular of the body of Christ. And so we have eternal life, and we just need to rejoice that we have eternal life, and we need to, and when we love with God's kind of love, we get eternal rewards, and they last forever. So, being a Christian and is the greatest thing in the world to me now. We have eternal life, and we're always going to be blessed for eternity. And it starts right now when we get born again of God's Spirit. And the evidence that we are born again of God's Spirit is that we speak in tongues. So Marlis does speak in tongues. So I tell her all the time to speak in tongues much. And I speak in tongues much. And then I'm learning to abundantly share more, and so I feel like my spiritual walk is growing, and it's real exciting, and I'm so glad that I found this fellowship with Ethel. I had been talking to Sharon, and I had been trying to show her how Trinity wasn't true, and God wants us to. God's word is true, and God's word, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So. we're being set free, and Sharon is learning from me, and then I'm getting CDs that teach the integrity and the accuracy of God's word, we're growing and we're getting excited about God's word, I'm real blessed on hearing the sharings today, and I'm just understanding that we're anointed of God, and we share our hearts and bless each other and encourage each other, and that's the simplicity of walking with God, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad. So we've got a lot to be glad about, because we have eternal life, and then when we do what we do out of love for God, then we have eternal rewards, and that's the greatest thing that everybody's looking for stuff in their life, but the Christians, we're the most blessed of them all, because of eternal life and because of eternal rewards. So we need to tell other people about it and get them born again also, and get them walking in love, then they can go get other people. So the family of God should keep on growing and growing, and it should be a blessing, and life is exciting. And it's a blessing, and I'm learning to share better, and I'm really blessed, and I'm really blessed to be hearing other people's testimonies also, and we just need to learn how great God is and just be ourselves. We need to find ourselves and be ourselves, and we need to find ourselves as part of the family of God and just be ourselves and just be excited about God and excited about His word and excited about how God is blessing us and helping us and how God is love. And so we just go out there and live it. That's all I can think to say right now.
That's wonderful, Ross. Praise God. What a beautiful heart you have. And God's working in you greatly. Great encouragement, great heart towards God and love for others. And He's working in you. And you connect up there with Ethel. And you've got a great connection there. And she's a great encourager. And God's doing mighty things through her. And so God's got you in the right place to flourish and grow. And it's great that you're practicing the things as well, which will really cause you to flourish and grow, because it's just giving God the green light to go to work for you. So really great to hear you. Thank you ever so much for being on here, staying all this time and sharing your beautiful heart, and hope to see you again as well. So God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Bless you, sir.
And everybody else that I've been listening to online.
Really wonderful. Thank you ever so much. Okay, thank you, Ethel, as well. Great sharing, sister, and keep kicking butt. Shine as those lights, honey bunny. That's wonderful. Okay, so next I would really like to go over to Bristol and ask beautiful, wonderful, on fire for God, Helen.
Oh, hi, everybody.
God bless you, sweetheart.
I just wanted to say I'm just so blessed. God is blessing me so much, as Amber said, with my family. I mean, it's just wonderful, you know. I mean, I'm continuing to pray. I'm continuing to pray that Keely's, you know, keeps moving with this now with God. I'm not doing what a carnal mum would do, as in you know, calling her all the time and checking that she's doing this and that and whatever. I'm just saying nothing. I'm just letting her personal relationship with God grow naturally. And I know it will. I know it will. She's, you know, she reached out. And because, I mean, I could have been carnally trying to push her with this a long time ago with over certain issues and things. But, you know, I've with Amber and Danny at Fellowship from day one, I've just listened to what they've said and I've literally, you know, just moved with God and let my own personal relationship grow with God. I mean, and I've just seen fruits all the time. I mean, the giving of your finances. If I had just £50 left now and that was it and I had bills to pay and stuff, I would just go and give it. I would go and give that money because I've done it so many times and every time God looks after me. He knows how much I need each week and he provides it. And he goes over and above as well. So, you know, when you think back, when I first started fellowshipping, I knew I was going to lose my job. I was told I had to go because, you know, of a personal choice I made. And this was a job that I'd trained to do and been doing for 30 odd years and loved it, you know, looking after people, caring for people. Absolutely loved my job. But I stuck with what my heart told me personally, you know, and I was being told every single week by my manager, other people in the world that I may never work again because of the choice I made. And, you know, that was really being fed to me. I was being put in a room on my own, on a Zoom with professionals, with nurses, with professionals telling me why my decision was wrong and that I should do what they were saying I had to do. Yet all the questions I fired to them, they couldn't answer. I stuck with it. I didn't know where it was going to take me or what was going to happen to me, but I knew I was going to be okay. I was already fellowshipping, you know, and Amber and Danny, our fellowship, they knew and God knew that God had his plan for me. And my life has flourished ever since then. Ever since I stepped out of that box of living in the world with the systems of life that keep you in bondage. I moved out of that box with God and he has provided for me. And I mean, I speak in tongues. Every day, all the time, I wake up thanking him. I do thank him a lot for everything because he does bring a lot in my life every day. Well, my every day is God is giving me each day and he gives me a beautiful day. He gets me to where I need to go and come back and he gives and also the energy he gives me to do all these things as well is just awesome. And obviously I pray a lot all the time. And I'm in my car quite a bit here and there going back and forth and I do most of it in my car. Always talking to him, always just focusing with him. It's not to say I've taken myself, you know, but God, he's just always there. I know he's always there with me and he's there with me every step of the way. And I, you know, the, I can't, I, ever since fellowship and walking with the Spirit, I can promise you, I've never once had any worry or doubt or, about anything. And, you know, think I've had arrows come. I've found that some friends, some of my best friends, they're not calling me anymore at the moment. They're not, I know that they will be. It don't bother me because I don't focus on things like that because I know it's all part of the plan. And some, you know, and it can be some people that you, that carnally you would have thought they would have been the last person that people that would have, temporarily left you. But, you know, you don't focus on that. You know that there's a plan. You know, they're going to see your light. They're going to continue to see your light and they're going to eventually want that. And they really will. And I know that. And, you know, how Tracy came along. I haven't seen her for a while. We were usually together quite a lot with the horses and how she came along that day to that cafe. She wasn't invited. It wasn't planned by me, but, she wasn't invited. She turned up and bang. You know, she let her heart out to me and the open door was there and now she's come to fellowship. So Mark, my partner, he, the other day, for the last couple of weeks, he'd had this cough. Now, Mark is a manual worker. He's quite a tough cookie if it comes to illnesses or anything. It's louder than anyone else's because, you know, that's what he's like. He's very loud chap. And if we've both got a cough, his will be 10 times louder. So he's had this cough for a couple of weeks. It hasn't stopped him from working. He's carried on. He works outside. But he sat down on the weekend. He sat down in the chair on the weekend and he's doing this cough. He does exaggerate, mind. It was an over-exaggerated, loud cough that almost woke the whole neighbourhood up. And he said something about it. And I said, well, I said, you know, I can lay hands on you and get rid of that. And he said, yeah. He said, oh, yeah, lay hands on me and get rid of, like, you know, laughing sort of thing. And I said, well, I'm going to do it. I said, but you've got to believe that this is going to happen. And, you know, and I'm going to speak in tongues as well. So I haven't spoken tongues to Mark before. Not, you know, I haven't done it. Not in front of him. Not yet. But I did that day. I put my hands on him. And, you know, I commanded the spirits of, you know, out of him, of illness or whatever it was, the cough. And I spoke in tongues and that was it. We left it. We got ready and we were going shopping. We got in the car and I didn't wait to see what would happen. Nothing, because I'm at the point now where, like what's been said before, is that once you pray for something or you cast anything out or whatever you do, you see it as done. So you don't hang about. You don't waste your time waiting to see if it's happened, or you don't even look at it because it's done. So thus, you know, we got in the car and we drove to wherever we was going. That cough, he never coughed once. That cough went. And I never spoke about it. I never said, see, look, Mark, blah, blah, blah. I knew it had gone anyway. And that cough is gone. And, you know, I don't, it's all glory to God. I know that. And so, you know, I continue to thank him for these things. Also going back, way back when I wasn't sure what sort of work I was going to be doing, I decided to, book myself up and do this dog grooming course. And it cost about £4,000 altogether. And I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to learn how to do that. And, you know, it was going to cost even more money than that because you would have to build the proper room to do it in with everything had to be just so. And all the equipment is a lot of money. So I'd put myself on this course. I paid the £900 deposit, which I knew because, you know, the paperwork said, and I knew that once you paid that, that was non-refundable. So if you backed out at any time, the £900 was non-refundable. But at the time, I was going to be doing it, so I paid the money. And a bit down the line, I wasn't feeling it in my heart. And I really felt that God was telling me it was maybe the wrong thing to be doing for me personally. So I did take it to fellowship and I prayed about it and everything. And I decided not to do it. And I knew I was losing that £900. That was fine because I'd made my decision. But I did in the car once, I did back a bit. I was thinking about all of this and I was talking to God, and in between other stuff, I was talking to him about, I did mention, I came up about the dog grooming course, and I said, you know, God, if the lady has managed to fill my space, because I would have been doing it now, like in October, if the lady has managed to fill my space, you know, a little something back would be lovely. And I just said that and left it, forgot I'd even said it really, and carried on, because God's been providing for me anyway, so, you know, I wasn't desperate or anything like that. I know I'm not going to be in that situation anymore again anyway. So, well, anyway, I've had an email from the lady of the dog grooming course, and a lovely letter, a lovely email, and it says, Dear Helen, I have managed to fill a few of your dates for the course that you had paid a deposit for. And she said, and I would like to refund you £450. So that's all glory to God, because she had no obligation as a businesswoman to do that whatsoever. It's in the paperwork. I knew that. I accepted it. And she really, I've never even met this woman. So it's just wonderful what's happened. I haven't checked to see if it's in my bank account, but I know it is, but I haven't checked yet. But yeah, I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, is God really does look after us when you go in with 100% faith and you're not looking to the left or the right. You take yourself out of the systems of this world because they just keep you in bondage. You've just got to have that faith and believe in things that you cannot see. And you know, when we talk about storms and stuff, well, we are that storm to the adversary of this world who continues to try and throw arrows and put distractions around, which we don't look at. But, you know, unbelievers, they are really, you know, getting distracted by what the adversary is throwing around. But our light is shining so brightly. And as we're growing in numbers, I mean, it's, well, it reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, you know, when that wicked witch, they, you know, the water's chucked on her and she starts mad and says, I'm melting, and disappears. I mean, that's what's happening to him big time. So we just continue. We continue to grow and believe and keep walking with that spirit, knowing that, you know, God's already won. He's looking after us. And keep speaking in tongues, the words, think about the words that you're giving. We don't have to think about the words we're giving, because when you just stay still with God, he really does give you those perfect words to give at the right time to the right people. And sometimes you do stay silent. Well, I stay silent, which old Helen would never have stayed silent, believe you me. But, you know, there's many a time I'm silent at the moment. And it's just waiting. You know, you just stay patient. You stay quiet and patient with God. And you don't try and interrupt him, because, you know, we don't do anything at all in our own strength. Not anything. Even if it's our daughter or, you know, the closest people to us, we just don't let that carnal person come back. We just let God do the work through us. Anyway, everybody, thank you for listening. It's great to be here.
Wonderful, Sharon Ellen, really walking with God step by step. And he's really leading you and guiding you. Really great. What a great blessing you are. Always encouraging. And always got wonderful testimonies. I mean, that was great with the money. Praise God for that. And bless that woman's heart. She'll get really blessed too by doing that. So God is great. And with your family now, you start moving through the family now. Awesome stuff. So with that, I would like to ask Anna and Pedro, because haven't seen them for a couple of weeks and missed them dearly. How are you doing, Anna and Pedro? Are you still there, guys?
Yep, we're here.
God bless you.
Hi.
Hello.
God bless. Bless
you guys too. Good to hear and see you. You want me to go first? Okay. So we've been listening to your sharings for a while, and it's a blessing to see how God is working in everybody's life. We're having a quiet time with God, and things are going smooth. And I can talk for myself. It's been a nice time, you know, because every day I have things that I know God is taking care of me and my life, and remind me of things that sometimes I do not remember. And it's good, because you can always walk with trust and peace, because whatever comes in our way, we know he's going to take care of us, and he's going to provide, and he's going to guide us and give us wisdom. And I've been, you know, day by day experiencing that in many ways, in personal things even. And there's things that, like this last week, when we trust God, he moves in our way. The other day there was something I asked a colleague of mine to buy me a book in the internet, and each time I do a withdrawal from my ATM account, I like to share with God with the money I pick up. So, but that time I was kind of, you know, not doubting, but waving between doing that or not. But then I decided to keep that principle, which I have. And the amazing thing is that, I don't know how it happened, but God make it, because he told me how much I have to give him. And then, after I did that, the price was lower. I don't know how it came. I don't know if he was wrong before. I do believe God is blessing our life when we trust him financially and other ways. And it happened like that, you know. It was not a big deal anyway, but it was something smaller. But there was a difference between trusting God and seeing Him moving in our life when we have these principles of abounding sharing. And this is something I do with God by myself. I don't say everybody has to do that. But I have been doing this for a long time now, and I see, you know, things working on like that, because it's, for me, it's more a kind of putting God to proof, you know, trusting Him. Each time I need to cash some money out, I give a part of it to God. I decided that in my heart. I don't mean everybody should do that. That's something between me and God. But in some moments I was like, maybe I won't do that this time, because I thought maybe it would be harder for me to, it was a time by the end of the month where I didn't have that much money. But the thing is that when we put Him and the trust in Him, no matter what circumstances look like, it's always better. We can always come better than we were before. And I've seen that going through and through, just, you know, talking about trusting God on finances. When I get paid every month, I always do my abundant sharing or honoring God at the beginning. That's the first thing I do with the money I receive. But apart that, every time I go to cash some money, I do it like that. I take a part to God. And that make me two things in my life. One is I have more wisdom on spending money, because I know each time part of that money doesn't go to my pocket, goes to God's pocket, in a way of speaking. And the other way is that it really blessed my life with things that come my way, less expensive. I don't need to expend so much money, which is great. I can even save more money, which doesn't make sense, you know. If you are giving away, biological, you wouldn't have more. But according to God's word and to what He says, when you trust Him and you give to Him, you will have more. I can testify that in my life for a long time, and more, even more now. And that is great, because, and then it makes me think that if He does that in finances, you know, what He wouldn't do in other ways, in other areas of our life, like, you know, business. I'm not a businessman, of course, but, you know, my work, my job, if I can say so, I know is prospering me, you know. The work I do with kids, I'm a drawing teacher in a public school. And I know that the last 2 years, the results of those kids are being improved, you know. And I know that's God prospering me. Of course, I do my part. I encourage them to trust in themselves and not be afraid of the results and the outcomes. And I even make them, you know, do their own evaluation, their classification, that they kind of evaluate themselves. I put them to apply on themselves, by themselves, what we call the evaluation criteriums, which works very nice, because they get conscious what they have done wrong and what they have to improve. But more than that, they gain confidence on themselves. That's something I do with these kids. I'm talking about, you know, 16, 17 year old kids. They are seniors in high school. And we don't, because this is something I learned, and once more God was showing me from some guys in the internet that were talking about how teachers usually, and I recognize that, do what they call the, I don't know how to put it in English, but it's a kind of, usually in school, when you evaluate a student, you make teachers, what they do is they kind of discount where they fail, you know, they penalize them for their mistakes. And that's called an evaluation or a system that goes to penalize the students. And I try not to do that. I try to reward them for what they achieved and show them where they are doing well, more than, of course, I always have to correct and show them where they're failing. But I don't give that much importance to that. It's just a way to acknowledge where they need to improve, not a way to make them pay for their mistakes. And that's what the world does, and that's what many of the school system does. But when I realized that was not godly and that was not the best way, and I change and I start to, you know, even when they are classifying themselves, evaluating their works, their drawings, and they say that maybe they have should have this or that value, I make them see that they are even better than what they think about themselves, and I classify them above what they say, which is great for them because they feel like, well, I'm better than I thought I was. And what that makes is that they get confidence on themselves and they get more interest on getting better instead of being afraid of their mistakes or shortcomings or being trying to hide what they are not doing well. Because that's what most of the time it happens with these kids on school. They are afraid of failure, you know. That's the world. People in the world are like that. But when we show them that we can be, you know, trusting in ourselves and be able to go over our shortcomings and that we are able to improve, and that's something that is godly, because it's God that shows us that. It's God that teaches that. Of course, I don't tell them directly that's godly way, but I put that on work. And it works. The results came better for them, came better for me, of course. And that's one of the areas where God has been improving my life as what I do as a teacher. But there are many other things, you know, like, you know, even for myself, I always try to improve myself on drawing and try to look for, you know, things that help me to do that. And God is always showing me where to go, where to look for. I even, you know, get books that help me and for a nice price in the internet. And there are sometimes someone who buy them for me. And I realize I've been improving myself like that by, you know, by going to God and asking to bless and to be the one that prospers, is the one who prospered me in many areas. Of course, not everything is perfect. I know there's things that need to be better in our lives. But I saw that God is prospering us, you know. It's not only finances, even health. As you see, me and Hannah, we were in a diet. We are lighter. Now we're going to the gym. We have time for that. And we have the joy of you know, going back to do something that even we like to do it. We didn't do it for a long time, but we like to do it. And even having a busy life, you know, especially Hannah has a lot of work to do. God have a way to find us time to do that, which is the best for us, according, you know, we're getting older and it's good for us to have some activity. So in many ways, God is taking care of us in a way that maybe last year we wouldn't saw would be possible, you know, or we wouldn't see it coming. I'm just saying this because when we do really trust God and we put our trust in God and we go to Him and speak with Him about things and our heart's desires, He's going to take care of that for us in ways that we probably won't see how. But He knows how. He knows how. He knows our hearts. He knows each one of us. He knows what's the best for us. And more than that, He knows how to work in each one's lives, because everybody's different. what works for me maybe won't work for Anna or for any one of you. But he knows each one of us, and he knows what's the best and the way to work in each one of us. So it's a good thing to put God to proof, to trust him, to go to him, and, you know, be confident. Don't look to situations. Don't look how things are going now. But you can always look at how things were in the past and see how they are better now, because I believe they are better now for everybody, because God is moving in us. And I'm blessed with it and expecting to see what God has more coming on. So we'll see. And I gave it to you now. Go on.
Hi, everyone. I was listening all the exhortation and all the things that are going on with you guys. And it's amazing how every week, we haven't been here the last 2 weeks, but anyway, I know because I hear the sharings and whenever I can, even at work. And I know that it's great because every and each week there is something new or something happened. And it should be like that because God is a God of action. And He is always doing stuff for us. You know, our reality, or for me, my reality, it's when I wake up, I know I'm a God's child. That is what I need to do and to think. And what I need to put in my mind and my heart is never forget who I am and where I can go with God. So the second thing is, our place, we are not from this world, but we are placed here and at work, at home, with friends, with family, whatever. So we have a position, and in that position, with God's power and God's spirit in us, we have an effect in others' lives, in everything that is surrounding us. So once we live, we are living outside of Lisbon. We live in a place, in the countryside, so we don't have a lot of distractions. So it's our life here at home, it's the fellowship at night, or it's our life during the day that it's work or gym now. Mm-hmm. So it's where we can... or it's where we show God's light and our way. Even a colleague of mine was telling me, sometimes they tell me, your way, you know, talking to me, oh, it's your way, it's the way you talk, it's the way you act. They don't, sometimes I tell, it's not my way, but yeah, some are not listening, it's not my way. Because it's no longer our way. It's no longer us. It's, you know, it's God's way. It's the effect that His Spirit in us has in our lives. So, as you can imagine, Peter says, I have a lot of work. He knows because of what I told him, but I don't think he can imagine the work I have. So, I've always a lot of things to do, and I've been a little bit tired last month, because I replaced the main director when she's in vacations, but now she's secretary. Yes, not the main director. He's secretary. Sorry, guys. And, you know, but now she's been, you know, at home, he'll, this word that the world has now, it's a burnout, you know, so you can imagine. I have a lot of work. I cannot manage all the things in the department where I work. And she went through this thing, burnout. Because it's too much for her, and I'm doing both works. So, I know it's not for me, it's God's strength in me. All the electricity, as they say, I have, it's not from me. But you know, I told him, and he can see that I cannot do both works. I have to do a little bit of each, and but you know, I've already told that here. You know, during the morning when I go to work, I put everything in God's shoulders. I don't want to know anything about it. He knows what to do. And one of the things that I've been learning is to be patient, to wait on Him, and open my heart with Him, with the things I want and the things I need, and for Him to show me, because something I can wish something and think it's the best, and it's not. He's the one that knows that. So, and the other thing, it's obeying. Okay, sometimes I know I'm very good obeying, others I'm not so good. So, obeying, like, you know, be quiet and shut up my mouth. And lately it has been the best because, you know, the main director of the department where I work for, it's not the big boss, it's the other one. You know, the adversary is probably working in him, and it's not good for him. I try to do my best, so he won't be so affected for that. But you know, like giving rough words to me and writing stupid emails and stuff like that. You know, I look at that, and I won't say the word here, but I say, what the F, what's happening here? I cannot believe that is happening with me. And so I ask God, what am I going to do? And nothing. I don't see anything, so I understand, shut up. Don't answer Him. Don't do anything. And not even by writing. Because it will be worse, you know. So yesterday it happened again, and I thought, I'm not gonna answer that, not by email. And I was, you know, speaking things and doing my work, and then I get up, I went to the other building, and I confront him. And, you know, I was rough with him, but I was also playing, you know, joking, and I told him some stuff, and he will, you know, he was so small, so small, and I told God, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I need to do it. I know I need to say something, so I have to talk with him, and as I talk with him, and as I deliver things to God, the change, it's not on me, you know. It's not only on me, because obeying God and doing the things He asked me to do and tell me to do, it's really a change. And it's good. But you know, I was telling yesterday, other believers, it's like a chessboard, you know. All the pieces are moving around me, so they get in place, so I get all the place where I need to go, you know. So God, I understand yesterday that God was moving around me with other people, with other situations, so I am on the right place. I don't know if how it's going to be in future, but you know, we'll see, and then I will tell you, because it's now I don't really know everything, but we just need to keep trusting. This is the bottom line. We just need to keep trusting. Never forget who we are, because God is there. He is always paying attention. We are always under His sight every moment of our life. So we need to remember ourselves that God is the one that is going to open the ways, open the doors, and will lead us. So never get in despair or get anxious. or think. I know we don't think about that really, but sometimes there can come a thought like, you know, oh, he's too busy now. It's not too busy. He is not a person like us. He can watch over us all at the same time. So it's amazing to see how we can be with such a peace, and because we know in our hearts, we know that the answer is there. And he is the only one that can give the solution. He will never leave us in a situation that we cannot handle. So there is no need to get in despair. There's no need to be anxious. There's no need to be afraid. Because, you know, sometimes I'm not afraid. I'm really a bold person. But, you know, sometimes I get like, can I do this? Am I strong enough to? I'm not afraid, but some doubts can get in, you know. And I don't need that. I just need to know that I'm able because God has made me able. And if it's not the right situation, he will move mountains so that I will be in the right place and in the right moment. So that is what I have to tell you guys. Just believe. It's always time to believe. It's always time to be in peace. Because there is no other way for us. God bless you. Love you. And I really, really miss you guys.
Yeah, we missed you too. That was great sharing from both of you, and you know, God working in each of us individually, and we just walk with him and do what he puts in our heart, and that's what you guys are doing. And I would never thought of you to be a afraid person, which you're not. We all get these thoughts and emotions, but like, we know who we are in Christ, so we can really bring our minds subject. But with that, I would like to ask Peter Lloyd next, please.
That was a great sharing by Kim. I loved it. You know, how to trust God no matter what, you know. And we hear that theme over and over and over again, you know, we were doing the Acts thing for the last month, and, you know, it's all about just going to God and trusting God in every situation. And I had a situation this week. You might find this interesting. I have workers that come in, and obviously, as you know, my power chair has gone down, and I'm in a manual chair. And it's hard for me to get around in a manual chair outside, out in public. And it's hard for me to get out of my house without assistance right now. But I have good news about that, too. But I determined that I was going to the dollar store Tuesday, a couple days ago. And on Tuesday, I have this one worker named Jo comes, and she's a big girl. She's able to turn me around and get me down the ramp and out of the house and into my car, into my van. My van's got a ramp also, so she was able to get me up into the van. And this time particularly, when I got in the van, I scooted kind of sideways to get myself situated where I could transfer to my driver's seat. And when I transferred, I didn't realize that I had knocked one of the rubber tracks off of the, unseated it out of the socket on the wheel. And I didn't realize it was come off. And, so when we got to the Dollar Tree, she went to get me down the ramp, and the wheel come even further off. And I'm like, I am going into this store. This is the first time I've been out in at least 2 weeks. I am going to the store. I don't care what it is. That's what I told God. And, so we tried to put the rubber back onto the rim like it was supposed to go so it could roll properly. And neither one of us could do it, okay? We're like, I don't know how to put this on. And she didn't know how to put it on. And we almost got a little frustrated. And I said, wait a minute. And I prayed. I said, God, just tell me what to do. And he said, get help. And I told her, because I couldn't leave the van. I told her, she needed to go into that store and you know, go ask for help. And God must have took over with her from that point, because she walked into the store that I was across the street from, or across the parking lot from. It was a tile store, a tile and appliance, you know, for when you renovate houses. It was had stuff for stuff like that, you know, like cabinets and vanities and tile and flooring and all this other stuff. But she, God must have told her to walk up to this one guy behind the counter and ask him for help. Because this guy, when he come out, he's like, oh, yeah, his name was Joe also. And he's like, oh, this isn't a problem. I used to work at the hospital where I worked in the medical equipment department. I know exactly how to put this on. And he had the tire, the rubber piece back in the socket in about 30 seconds. And we were able to go into the store. And we went in there and I talked with him a bit, and he was really nice. And then we proceeded over to the Dollar Tree, and I got all my stuff. So that's like walking with God moment by moment right there. And he told me what to do, and then I'm sure he worked with her from that point on after I told her to go get help. And it was immediate, like an answer to prayer immediately. And it was really great. And it's available to do that. It's available to walk like that. And so that's my testimony on that. And also, I've been after my doctor whenever someone's in my situation and they need a repair, all medical stuff has to go through a physician in the United States, okay? So if you're trying to get your insurance company to do something, they need an authorization from your doctor in order to be able to approve it. And that's one of the things that's been holding up the process of me getting the power chair fixed. And I just found out today that the medical supply company just called me and told me that my doctor signed off on the last two parts I need to get my chair fixed, which will be, those are easy to get. Those parts are easy. So the repair is coming very quickly. Then also on a note with that, I was talking to Bambi about this, and she's like, this could be the stepping stone that you need just to get up and start getting around. So I've been getting up and just, you know, I've been standing up a lot more, a lot quicker. I've been losing weight. I've been getting in shape with this pushing myself around business. And, I'm more confident taking steps. I have better balance. I've been confessing all of that, you know, better balance, more stamina. Cerebral palsy be gone, you know, infirmity be gone, all of it. I just been like, it's like a checklist, you know? And, so maybe by the time, I don't know, but I could be up walking around by the time they decide to get up here and fix it, but that remains to be seen, but that's my prayer. But, I wanted to tell everybody that, you know, you can walk with God instantaneously, no matter what the situation is. And, so God bless you guys. That's my sharing, because I wanted to keep it short.
That was awesome, Peter. What great testimonies. Praise God.
Mm.
And he does, like you say, like instant answer to prayers. Like I remember when, before we go to Bambi, finish off with Bambi, we moved into this house, and that time we didn't have a lot of money at all. And we needed £200. I can't remember what form. We're driving down the road. I said, love, we need to ask God. And as I prayed, there's a scripture. It says he'll answer you even while you're praying. And we're praying. And I said, God, like, we need £200. Could you just sort something out for us? We ain't got nothing. And as I'm praying, my phone rung. So I stopped praying, obviously answered the phone. And it was a believer that lived in Bath at the time. He's asleep now. He fell asleep in Christ. And he said, God told me you need £200. Do you want to come over and get it now or later on? And God bless his heart. Like, he was really walking with God at that time. And it was amazing. Our faith just went right through the air. Like, you know, it was like, wow. Yeah. This is before I was full time or anything like that. And, we just moved in. We needed this. We needed that. And, obviously when you move in, I don't know what it was, but I know that we needed it. And, so we just went to God in prayer, and he's done that for us thousands of times. You know, there was another time I found out that there was a big meeting in New York, and Ken Petty was going to be there, Sangate was going to be there, loads of people were going to be there. And I had like £450 in our bank. That's what we had to live on. And I so desired to be there. And I said to Kim, can I go? She goes, we're going to leave you with nothing. But go on, you go. It's really in your heart. But you can't pay for the meeting, because there was obviously a setup fee you have to pay for, and you ain't got nowhere to stay. So I found out who was organizing it and rung them up, and I said, look, could you get me somewhere to stay? I've got enough money to get there. And so this guy said, yeah, you come. Well, anyway, I went back to the bank account, thought, okay, let's double check, make sure I've got the right amount here. And a bill come out, took all the money. I'm like, oh no. And so I got in the car, again, just driving down this road was a great road to drive on and pray for stuff. And I'm going there, and my phone rang again as I'm praying. And it was the guy it was Raymond Thomas, the Indian believer that lives in New York. And he said, "Lawrence, have you brought your ticket out?" I said, "No." And before I could say why, he said, "Well, don't." He said, "I got air miles, and I want to bless you with your flight." So I got on the flight. Kim had enough to keep her going, so it was only like 4 or 5 days. And I got there, and as I walked into the hotel where all this meeting was going on, there was this guy who comes straight up to me, and I seen Patrick Dunn. Patrick Dunn was there, and it was Patrick Dunn's friend, and his name was Victor Rance. And he said, "Oh, you're Lawrence." He said, "Your website saved my life." Now, this guy was a hardcore Marine Corps guy. I mean, real tough dude. And he was going to take his life because he had no contact with the believers. And he says, "God, you've got to do something. As I am going to end it. And you know I mean business." And then all of a sudden, he just had it in his mind just to type into the website, power.
No, into the internet.
Into the internet. Into Google, power. And my website at the time was called Power Filled Ministry. And it brought up my website. He clicked on it and then seen all these names that he knew. And then by there, he was able to get back in contact with Patrick, and he got connected up, and it was an answer to prayer. So I went there with no money, and he goes, "I want to bless you, man." And he gave me I come back with like $3,000 going with nothing. And I didn't ask anyone for anything. I didn't tell him my circumstances. And it was just absolutely amazing how God can take care of us, bless us. I got to minister healing to people, got to meet other people, and more doors open for me. It was just a raging desire to go. I had to go. I just knew it. So, yeah, like Peter, like you were saying, just to kind of enhance what you're saying, like instantaneous answers to prayers, and we've heard that tonight, which is really great. And God's doing it all the time, and we just keep going to him. So I thought I'd share that. And there's many more like that I could share. I mean, so many like that. But with that, I'm not going to take up any more time with people. I'm going to ask our wonderful darling Bambi to share, and Mango.
Me?
Yeah. Little Mango. Old you.
Mango left.
Oh, Mango.
So Mango shares one night.
Yeah, Mango's got to share.
Yeah.
Go on, Bambi, carry on. I'll mute myself now.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Well, God bless you all. I'm so happy to be here, and I've just got so many things to share. But the thing is too, like, God has been just working so much in my life, just so personally, that the things that he's shown me are things that he's done that I've mentioned this before in another sharing, but sometimes I'll just get revelation of something and God will show me something and I'll see something for the way that it really is. And I have this great understanding, and then it's kind of like it folds back. And I saw it for a second, but I don't retain the information. It's just a momentary glance at something that he's showing me. But I just had an amazing thing happen the other night. I was talking to Tony. Tony goes to a little Seventh-day Adventist church. He knows the pastor there. They do their get-togethers on Saturdays and Wednesdays. And so I was talking to him last night and asked him what his plans were. And he said he was going to go to church. And I forgot. I was like, "That's right. It's Wednesday. You go there on Wednesdays." And so I thought, you know, it's been getting darker here. And suddenly I was inspired. There's a little fellowship that meets online on Wednesdays. And I used to be in that fellowship. And then we went through that time when we were all spending a lot of time on the internet with one another. I was doing that one, this one, in another meeting. And I dropped off. Really, it's just a lot of what Lawrence and everyone shares. You know, it's, we really do want to be singly focused with God and where he wants us. And I had really known for a time that I was in these fellowships, and it was becoming an obligation. I was in them because I felt like I had to be. It wasn't, you know, no one was requiring me to, but I felt obligated. But I just knew it wasn't where I was supposed to be. It's not that they're not wonderful fellowships or that the ministries aren't. In fact, they are. They're wonderful. I love the people. But it wasn't where God had placed me. And so, anyway, I hadn't met with them a lot in the last year, but every now and then I would kind of jump on and say hi and participate. And this the last time I just knew it wasn't right for me. I was just, they met too long. I was so tired. It was just, it was not right, and it was beginning to affect me. So anyway, I hadn't been on for a while, but then
last night, I just suddenly felt inspired. And, oh, it's Wednesday. I'll call in and just join that fellowship and say hello. And they do a lot of singing. They're big, very, very big on singing. And so, I hopped on and joined it. And it was just so amazing to me because, you know, I had been doing it the wrong way beforehand of feeling like I had to be in this group and I had to be in that group. And, you know, I don't even have to be in this group if I don't want to. It's where God inspires me to. If God told me not to join for some reason on a Thursday, I wouldn't do it. But, you know, we have to go moment by moment like Lawrence and Peter were just sharing. And last night it was right for me to be in that fellowship. And I don't know how it really came about, but they, you know, they're happy to see me. We spoke for a little while and I just gave a testimony about what's been happening at my workplace and how I've been going in and just speaking in tongues on the way to work and declaring before I walk in the building that anything that's not in alignment and harmony with God, you know, my God, the Father of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's got to be out of that building in the name of Jesus Christ. I lift up the building and the staff, and not just the staff in that building, but the staff in that building, not just the people I work with. And when I'm driving down the road, I'm declaring, you know, that airport is blessed. That gas station is blessed. Those trees are blessed. Those rocks, those landscaping rocks are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just declaring that as I'm going to work, and I've seen just an incredible outcome my workplace, just how peaceful it is and how people actually laugh now. People have casual conversations. This wasn't happening. There was a great spirit of oppression on that building when I first got there. And just the whole area, it seems lighter because it is. And so, you know, I've been declaring that the devil spirits are running out of this area. And there was someone on that call last night who said, oh my God, that's what I needed to hear. That's what I need to be doing. And it was just, you know, it all came together. It was just a wonderful time to fellowship with them and, you know, with the family of God. But, you know, it was just about one night. But then when I got off the fellowship, I was just on fire. I realized that that was God directing me at that time, that I needed to be on there and share that and really just, you know, encourage another believer. And so this morning, and I'm just going to share this really quick. I don't normally jump on and share scripture, but it just blessed me so much. Because it's not something that I could have done. And we're all talking about things that we couldn't have done. But for some reason this morning, I sat down and I was like, God, I want to read your word this morning. And I just want to really study the scriptures. And I want something I can take away. Something that, I don't know, something I can share with somebody else. And I felt drawn to read, Mark 15. It's kind of a random scripture to go to, if you think about it. I mean, I don't know the scriptures by heart, so I didn't know what I was getting into. I mean, I know the Gospels, but I didn't know exactly what happens in Mark 15. As I read through it, it's the crucifixion of Christ. Not necessarily the most pleasant topic to start your day off with. And it's a really brutal depiction of everything that happened and how they crucified him and they divided his clothes and he says the phrase that I'm sure many of us have heard different teachings on about why did he say, you know, my God, you know, why have you forsaken me? And I ended there and went about the house and did some other stuff and really had a few extra minutes and sat down and thought, I want to read a little bit more. And I just started flipping through the Bible, thinking that I'm directing myself. And I flipped to Psalms and I stopped and I started to read Psalm 22. Which starts off with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as I begin to read, everything that had just been in the scripture in Mark that I had read is in that psalm. Everything. Jesus Christ was declaring that it was finished. He was the promised seed. Everything in there. Everything in the Mark, the brutality, it just gives me cold chills. I mean, not cold chills, but, you know, goosebumps in an amazing way. And I knew that this morning, that was God directed, but God didn't tell me. Now I open Psalm 22. God didn't speak to me or anything. I just walked. I did that and God opened my eyes and I knew that was God. And then I called Tony because I call him in the morning and wake him up at a certain time. And I told him what had happened and I got to share that with him. And it was such a blessing to me that the very first thing in the morning that happened was I prayed that I wanted to be able to learn something from the scripture and share it with someone. And before even 8 o'clock in the morning happened, that's what had happened. And it was just such a blessing. You know, and if anyone feels inspired, you know, go check out those two scriptures. It's amazing. It's just amazing to see what I believe it was David that wrote that psalm, and then look at that account in Mark all those years later and go, you know, no, that's, it's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And, yeah, so it just, you know, knocked my socks off, although I wasn't wearing socks this morning because it was pretty warm. And, I just, you know, have been really having a blessed time walking with God each and every day, just step by step. I don't, you know, I've noticed that God does things on a need to know basis. And so I'm just really accepting that and really reminding myself that, you know, I trust God in whatever he's doing and whatever he's doing it. And, you know, I have been frequently in my own mind going, oh, well, I want to be in Nicaragua. That's the desire of my heart. I want to be doing these certain things. But I also recognize that God is the one who's put me where he's put me, and he's moved me around. He was the one that sent me to Nicaragua in the first place. And speaking of miraculous things, it was many years ago, a few more years now than I want to count up while I'm being recorded. But I remember God had really put up in my heart that I needed to go to Central America, and I didn't have the money for a plane ticket. I didn't have the money. It was like $2,000. Plane tickets were very expensive at that point, especially to go to a place like Central America that no one, it wasn't like a destination like Disney World. And, so I remember really wanting to go on this trip and really feeling like I needed to go to Nicaragua. And I'd never been there. I didn't speak Spanish. And I went and took a shower. This is before cell phones were big. And so long distance phone calls still cost a lot of money. And I was praying in the shower and I said, God, if you really want me to go to Central America, I'm going to need you to provide a plane ticket. And I mean, within a few seconds, my roommate was knocking on the door because a very dear friend of mine was calling long distance, and she had just accepted a job with an airline and they gave her so many free plane tickets, and she was calling to give me a free plane ticket. So yeah, God does do that. And he's done that in my life many times, as well. And so Peter, I just love your testimony because it's that tenacity of we're just, you know, we're doing what we're doing. That's like, you know, you were going into that store today. When I was in the airport in Managua and I was leaving the country, I was going to be in that hotel that night with my three cats, even though everything around me was saying that I could not get in the airplane with my three cats. And that's exactly what you did. You were going to the store. And so we don't look at the mountain. We say what's going to happen. You know, like Lawrence says, what he was inspired to say, we say what we want, not what we see. And so we just have to keep walking through it. And I love that. I love that because if you think about it, that's just so ridiculous. There's no earthly 5 cents reason why that man will be working in that store who knew how to do what needed to be done with a wheel on a wheelchair. That is absolutely and only God. It's only possible with God. So I won't go on because I can go on, and I just, you know, just love you all so much and have so many things to share. But so I think so many things recently have just been so private between God and myself, but I just love hearing your testimonies, and I love hearing just being spending this time with all of you. So that is what I have, and Mago's taking a nap, but I'm sure he'll send you some pictures later, Lawrence.
Amazing, Bambi. Like, God's so good how he works and how he shows things. And when you was talking about that record, I know those records, obviously. They've been taught on so many times and different angles on it. But what reminded me of was maybe when Paul went into the synagogues and he was, you know, proving that, you know, from the scripture that this Jesus was the Messiah, you know, probably going to those records and then giving an account of what happened, you know, because obviously he would have learned that. So it's just really wonderful. The scriptures can't be broken, baby. You know, and God gives us those heavenly words to declare as well with great power and authority. And he can give us what we need to say about those things as well. So really great, a wonderful night. You know, we usually start off with 15. I think we've ended with 15. So that's a great blessing. I think there was over 23 people tonight. So God's just working in everyone's heart. Everyone's walking by the Spirit of God, being led by him. And we're going to see even greater things happen. More people will come and more people will start their own fellowship. More one-on-ones will happen. And God's directing his church by Jesus Christ. And, you know, we are blessed, very blessed people. What a privilege to be able to be on here from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning. And everyone's still staying here wanting more. Like Kim say, as Bambi was sharing, Kim was going, let's share it, girl, share it. As you were sharing, Bambi, you said, oh, I could say more. And Kim's going, well, say it then, say it. Yeah, she was cheering you on, girl. Jesus Christ was doing the same too. So it's just really great. So I think what we do, that's such a great night. We love you all dearly. We'll have someone pray, and then we'll have some manifestation, and then we'll close out. So bless your beautiful hearts. You're all gorgeous. You're all being led by him, and you're all bringing glory to him as you stay humble to him. And so with that, would someone, first one to unmute their mics and pray, can pray?
I'd like to pray.
Go on, Mary. Go for it, darling.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Look at what you've done for us. Just look around. The stars, the sky, the sun, the moon. But the greatest thing is that gift of Holy Spirit in us. You are so loving to give us a connection and to want to love us and have us love you back. Because we're not powerless. We can say what your word says and see it come to pass. Because you're a great and loving God, and you wouldn't leave us without comfort. Your son did it all for us. And we accept that, we claim that, and we walk in it. We don't pray for the bush. We don't beat around it. We speak to it, and it comes to pass because our words hold power, because we have the creator of the universe in Christ in us. And it's a tremendous honor. And I just love these people so much, God. And I thank you for blessing each and every one of them with all of their needs being met. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And amen, beautiful heart, thank you. And Helen, would you like to speak in tongues and interpret?
Yes, okay. Mianto afish kul mohondo shumaklasi ampaklasi tun humulatan. Children, know I am your father. Love me first as I love you first. Stay strong with me. Stay strong with your faith. Do not look to the left or the right. I will guide your way and give you everything you need.
Beautiful, beautiful. And Bambi, would you speak in tongues and interpret, please?
Children, this day you are here. You are in this group. You are in this time. I am with you strongly, and you will be bold, and you will walk boldly. Walk out, hear the words that I have shared with you. Take them to heart and walk forward.
Amen. Powerful, wonderful stuff. And Sakina, would you like to bring forth a word of prophecy?
Dear hearts, know that my heart towards you is good, pure, and loving. Know that I hold you in the palm of my hand. Know that it is my desire to bless you so much that when the world sees you, they see me. Continue to walk out on my word. Continue to come to me and seek me. Know that as you do this, I will bring forth promises in my word, in your life, that you'll shine in this world and you'll shine so bright that people will come. They need me and they need you in this world to represent me.
Amen. And yes, God, amen. That's beautiful. And Doris, would you like to close out of a word of prayer, please? Yeah, you're Doris.
Sorry. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this wonderful night. Thank you for each individual. Thank you for their prayers, for their desires, for the way that they shared tonight, for giving us faith, confidence, and trust in you, God, that we can move mountains, that we cannot walk around or push aside, but we go up and over when we look to you in every situation. That nothing is impossible with you, God. You are a mighty God and the only God that we will ever want to be close to. We thank you for what you wrought through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we do have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And thank you for your love and your goodness. And that no prayer goes unheard. And that as we continue to look to you in every situation, that our faith increases. That you know what we need. Not greed, but need. And you meet those needs, God, on a daily basis, as we've heard tonight, through all the testimonies, through the sharings. And I thank you for the great honor and the privilege that we get to work with your people, that we get to fellowship with your people. and that we are a family. We are a family of God. Thank you for this and for a wonderful night, for a great week ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And it just comes to my heart that someone has a big need in their life. I don't know whether it's physical or emotional or whatever, but you don't have to say who you are. But I would like Ethel to pray for that, please.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I just lift to you this person, God, whatever the need may be. It could be health, finances, just whatever it is, God. I speak deliverance, healing, and wholeness for this person. You are the most powerful God that there is. We claim healing, deliverance, and guidance for this person, Father. So I thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And it won't be too long before that prayer's answered. It's already answered. The manifestation's coming soon. I don't know what it is, but it's met. It's met. Thank you, Ethel. Okay. Well, God bless your beautiful hearts. And God is really working. And if you want to talk amongst yourself for a couple of minutes, you're more than welcome to. I won't hook us off yet. But we're all finished up, but we love you. We're not all finished up for tonight until the next week. So, God is wonderful. What a great fellowship. I mean, it really was so inspiring by every person that shared.